down, Danny. Sit down, Danny.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Once again, it's my very happy privilege to introduce to you stadium announcer Philip J. Hochberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
Rob Spiewak.
Good King Phil.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Outrageous, if you please.
Outrageous, Robbie.
And all the ships at sea, reminding you to put it in as far as you can until you hit the wall. Then, for God's sake, pull out.
Pull out.
It's John Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Right. Thank you, Robbie. And hello, everybody. It is Wednesday, April 19. And we're here in control now, gentlemen.
Yes, we are.
Toll-free telephone line, same as it was yesterday. 1-877-365-3636.
Yeah.
Let me say this to take care of two stories that I'm totally sick of in the news all at once.
Yes.
I'm just going to throw this out, but I believe John Rocker should adopt Ilian Gonzalez. And that's it.
Leave it to you to find a solution for two major controversies in the United States.
Because I could not be sicker of either one of those stories.
Yes.
And yet every time I turn on the TV or open my newspaper, that's all I get. Rocker or Gonzalez.
Well, you know those TV news people. Lazy, lazy, lazy.
Damn right. Unlike us.
Right.
Here on the no picture part of your dial.
Absolutely, where we have to work just a bit harder to entertain you.
I got
to
tell you that today I caused a major scene at the Exxon station. I had to come into work early today because I'm taping a Redskins Westwood One NFL show that's going to run on weekends now.
Right.
So I got to come in one day a week to tape this show extra early. So I had to be to work at 12:30. I got in the car about quarter till noon, and I realized that the light was on. The gas tank's empty light is on.
Kind of a normal day of the week where
yeah.
the fuel tanks will be empty.
And I thought that, you know, I am a truly lazy man because the light had been on while I drove the kids to carpool to school this morning.
Right.
And the light had been on the whole way that I drove back home, and I knew that I had to come in early today to tape this show.
Right.
Yet, as I drove past the gas station going to school this morning and coming back from school, I thought, I'll do it on the way to work.
Not the greatest task in the world. Everybody procrastinates when it comes to filling up.
Mm-hmm. So I wait until the last minute to leave my house, hoping that there's not going to be a lot of traffic. I stop at the Exxon. I jump out of the car. I go over. I pull out the credit card. And I put it in the thing, and it says lift nozzle.
Right.
I take the nozzle out. I go to open the little door on the car, and the little door where my gas thing is won't open. And now I'm standing there just staring at this for a minute, going, why wouldn't the door open? And then I look and I realize the door doesn't open, the little gas door doesn't open, because I've locked the car and I've locked the keys inside the car. The car has one of these safety protections that
everything goes
that you can't open the little gas door unless the doors are unlocked.
The lasers come on, you know, you just said, once you lock your keys in the car.
Now, normally,
were they in the ignition?
Yes. And normally when I go to the gas station, I take the keys out
right.
and put them in my pocket. But I've been in such a rush, I just jumped out of the car. So now I'm sitting here looking at my car. I'm just looking at it and looking at my watch and thinking, what the hell am I going to do? Well, fortunately for me, the sunroof was open. Not all the way.
Right.
Certainly not all the way for me to climb in because it was only open about maybe 8 inches.
Let the gymnastics begin.
So what I did was I actually mounted my car. I climbed up on the hood of the car.
Did you trip the alarm or something like that?
No, I didn't. But what happened was that I was on top of the car.
Were they in the ignition? Did you say that already?
They were in the ignition.
All right.
I'm on top of the car, and I have my hand going through the sunroof, and because the sunroof was only open, like, you know, this much, I could not reach. It was killing me, and I can only imagine what people were thinking. They're driving by because I'm actually on top of my car.
Legs spread.
Yeah, and as I was trying to get my arm down in there to get the keys, my legs involuntarily are going back and forth in junk.
Yeah, you look like, you know, Willy Wonka or something
so
like that.
You know, I'm frustrated because I can't get my goddamn hand far enough in to get the keys out of the ignition. And by now, of course, everybody who's there has come over to see what's going on. And, of course, it's not like there are a bunch of moms and school teachers and librarians.
You need somebody who could win at the tail of the tape, somebody who's got a tremendous reach.
Well, of course, all of the people who were there were real working men.
Right.
Like the guys who were driving the gardening trucks, you know, the guys that mowed lawns for a living.
Uh-huh. Guys who really work for a living.
Yeah, the guy with the post office truck and a guy, I think, with a Staples truck was
right.
in there. And as I climbed off my car, they were all just standing there.
Getting a nice chuckle.
You know, looking at the stupid disc jockey who's locked himself out of the car. And one by one, they each came over and said, "What you doing?" You know, like I'm having fun.
Well, was there anyone that was maybe 6'4", 6'5"?
No, a guy who works inside the gas station. I have to thank him. His name is Al.
Al!
What Al did was...
Hey, Al!
Al got a coat hanger. And actually had an arm that was long enough and wiry enough...
Get a coat hanger, D.
...that he got in there with a coat hanger, and he actually yanked the keys out of the ignition.
And actually got him on his little thing.
And like he was fishing.
Excellent.
That's lucky, because
sometimes
you've
got to jiggle it to get it out of the ignition.
Right, no, he did it. He was fantastic.
So you had to get out of the car and hit the little button on the door to lock the car.
I didn't mean to, but yes, I did. Absolutely, I did. Which is why if you check out my car in the parking lot today, you will notice that there are footprints all over the hood of the car.
Well, that's good.
There's big spots from where I was up on top of the sunroof. There's handprints everywhere.
You had a lot on your mind. You had this show to do, and you had
the other show to do. Right. And at one point, there was, I think this guy, Al from the gas station, he was making sure that he wasn't stepping on my windshield wipers.
Al Lewis from the gas station.
Stepping on my windshield washers, windshield wipers.
I can't help you with your arm. Get a coat hanger.
No salutation.
Come on.
He had the guy from Staples and the guy from the post office that were flanking him on each side.
Right.
You know, like standing there at the ready.
In case something happened.
To catch him.
Right.
And I was standing there just kind of organizing all of this.
Right. Feeling stupid, I was.
Yeah, and the whole time they're saying to me, "How did this happen?" I said, I don't know.
There's a lesson to be learned here for anybody that ever locks their keys. If you have a sunroof, always keep it open a crack.
That's right.
Yeah, and if it wasn't open a crack, I would have been, you know, I would have been screwed.
That would have been a very difficult situation. Well, you were so, you know, you had a lot on your mind. That's
very lucky. Very lucky. We just want to thank Al at the Exxon station. Thank you, Al.
Any guy named Al that owns a service station is a good guy.
I don't think Al owns it.
He works there.
He just works there.
Young Al.
And I'm so frustrated about the double standard in radio. I just got to tell you about this, that this just pisses me off to no end, that for whatever reason, Mike and I have become the poster boys for the FCC. And we've become the poster boys for the FCC in regards to telling people that they're on the radio.
We have to... We have to maintain a higher standard than a lot of other shows do.
Because there are people at the FCC who gun for this show.
They're waiting for us, so we kind of have to mind our P's and Q's.
They sit back and want to make sure that we get people's permission, which is why now we have to do this ridiculous exercise. Whenever we call anybody, the goddamn CBS lawyers gave me a laminated card on both sides
right.
that says, "Hi, this is the Don and Mike Show. Do you mind going on the air with us?" And maybe you've wondered why you've heard other disc jockeys call people up, and they just say, "Hi. And how are you?" And they have a conversation.
But and also, some of them get away with it by, you know, recording it in advance.
Right.
And,
yeah, but there are some disc jockeys
Some still do it that
who
way.
Who just call.
Right.
You know, which should, incidentally, just be the rule. You just call when people figure out they're on the radio. And I'm tired of being the poster boy for this because I'm listening to the radio this morning when I'm coming back from carpool. And I hear two separate disc jockeys that just piss me off.
Mm-hmm.
I hear the disc jockey on 101. I hear him... doing a bit that we did 10 years ago, which doesn't bother me. He's trying to bother hockey players in a hotel.
Right.
Okay, because the Penguins are playing the Capitals, and he's trying to bother the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Mm-hmm.
But what's pissing me off is that this disc jockey's calling the hotel, and he's not telling them that he's on the air.
Right.
He's just calling and asking for the rooms, and there's no problem. And he gets one of these hockey players on the air, and the hockey player says hello, and he says, "Yeah, is this the hockey player?" And the hockey player says, "F you."
Right.
And I mean, he doesn't say F you, he says F you.
The whole word.
Yeah, he says it. Now, I'm driving down the road, and I'm thinking, wait a minute. I got a guy crawling up my ass when we did a bit last week about cockfighting.
Right.
For goodness sakes, they came running in yesterday when Buzz was talking about cockpits during the news.
Yes.
Here I'm listening to this guy not telling anybody that they're on the air.
Right, and the guy that he calls uses the F word.
Right.
It's not fair.
And that's okay. So then I think, you know what? I'm overreacting. We change the station. So I change the station, and this time I turn on, it's a CBS station.
Okay.
I'm listening to a CBS show. And the guy that I hear on this
anus in the morning.
Yeah.
He uses, well, and I can't say it because they've told me we can't say it.
Right, the T word.
Yeah, he's talking about going to a biditar.
Right, a biditar, and he says it, but he says the real real way.
He says it like five times in 30 seconds.
Biditar, biditar, biditar.
Yeah, he's talking about some idiot station in Atlanta that wants him to broadcast from a biditar.
Right.
And I'm just getting more and more frustrated with a double standard that they're editing us in New York.
Right.
They have, you know, they have three people with dump buttons now for this show.
Not to mention any affiliate can do it if they want to. They're sitting back there. They can hack away.
Right. Now keep in mind that as we do the show here, I have a dump button,
right,
which I'm supposed to use if anybody drops the F.
Right.
Then Charlie Broyhill has a button that he's supposed to push if I don't push the button.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy has a button that he's supposed to push if I don't hit the button and Charlie doesn't hit the button. And now there's a fourth guy with a button.
Yes.
Okay, so there are four buttons for this show.
Wow. Right.
Four people with nothing better to do than sit around and analyze every word that's said on this radio show. And listen, I don't mind us being the poster boys, you know, for telling people that they're on the air.
You get legitimately physically angry.
I am pissed.
You just look like if you could hit something like a wall or
I'm
something,
pissed.
You would.
Yeah. I'm really pissed.
Sure.
It's like, you know, the first time we call somebody and just say, hey, it's Don and Mike,
mm-hmm,
well, the next thing you know, the FCC's crawling up our ass.
You know, the first one you mentioned, the first example you give, I say small potatoes, kind of a small timer, so maybe not that one. But the second one you mentioned, that's the same company.
Right.
I mean, that's a guy that's on a lot of radio stations. I don't get that at all. That makes absolutely no sense to me.
All I know is
how that was broadcast and how you were able to hear that.
It's a supreme double standard. And I've been trying to call people in this company today to find out how come this is. How
are
come
they
I'm
all at lunch starting at 9 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, I don't know. Just trying to find out how come every other disc jockey that I listen to in the world gets to do stuff that we can't do.
It's not fair.
And how come there are, you know, banks of lawyers just sitting around waiting for us to do a bit about cockfighting?
Yes. I think sometimes that, you know, you become the more successful you are, the more you are scrutinized. And I really think that has a lot to do
That's
with
true.
It. As a matter of fact,
it does piss me off.
The second show, you know, if you were comparing the two shows, okay, and you were talking about, say, 18-wheelers that pass in the night, you would be talking about this show. That would be the 18-wheeler that is going to the summit, and the other 18-wheeler would be on its way down.
I understand. I mean, I understand where we are, you know, on the mountain of radio shows at CBS. But,
right.
You know, it's just goddamn frustrating. You know, have one set of rules that all the disc jockeys must adhere to.
Right.
Or just take away the rules and let people make up their own goddamn minds about what they want to listen to.
They'll never do that.
No, they won't.
No.
No, but you know that the FCC will file a complaint with us.
You know, and you put calls into people, and I'm interested to see what they have to say, especially when you mention that second one. Because the first one I chalk up to just stupidity.
Right.
That they're just so out of it over there that they don't, you know, and he's, you know, who is that guy anyway? But the second one, I want to hear what they say to that, because that is...
You mean to the F word or the biditar?
The biditar. I want to hear about that, because that's
another gigantic...
all over the country.
That's a gigantic argument they've had with us.
Right.
And they even got mad when we used the word teeth. We were talking about
right.
cow's teeth.
Really? Cow's teeth.
Said it's too close to the real word.
Now, come on. Now you're getting me. See, that's getting silly.
But yet, I turned on Anus in the morning today, and he's dropping that word left and right.
And he's dull.
And he works for this company. I mean, you know, if anybody...
Biditar.
If anybody should be allowed to use that word, certainly should be a young, vibrant broadcaster like myself or Mike, someone who can take that word and really... do something with it.
Absolutely.
You know, that's a waste of that word to let Ima say that word on his radio show.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more.
It truly is.
You know, it's just foolish. It's foolish to let that fossil do that.
And if anybody should be allowed to call people and not tell them that they're on the air, it should be us.
Would help us the most.
We've been doing it longer than anybody. We call more people than anybody.
It would assist us more than any people in radio if we were allowed to do that.
God damn right. Oh, just frustrating. Just so mad.
I know.
I'm so angry.
You are just so angry.
I am. I'm all worked up.
You were angry in the office. I knew you were angry at that.
That's what I'm upset about.
You're angry. You're an angry man today.
I get past it. I'm fine.
I know you'll be all right.
You know, I locked my keys in the car. I felt like a dope. You know, wonder why I'm coming in 3 hours early to tape another show. You know, because I really need to do another show. Like, I don't do enough on this show.
You know what would help you get over your anger?
What?
Go to the theater with Rob and I.
Okay, no. I am not going to Fags Night Out on Broadway. I am not. And the more that you and Rob talk about the fact that you're going to this fag show tomorrow night, and then you're going to go to your Sardi's restaurant for dinner later. You can't get me. You could not get me.
They say the neon lights up bright on Broadway.
You know, you're as bad as my wife is.
I am.
Just as bad as my wife is.
You know, in this, there are many, many times that we've had discussions where you have referred to me as a fag, and I have tried to defend myself, but... I don't see any defending of this. I do enjoy this. This would be a part of my life where, you know, and Rob and I share this, where they, it's not, you know, there's no way we can defend ourselves against this.
No, and certainly not.
Have a lovely post-theater dinner date also. planned at the fabulous restaurant. It's
so queer.
It's going to be just delightful.
That's where you're just like my wife. Did I tell you that the other day? My wife had the whole big section of the newspaper set out with all these Broadway shows,
mm-hmm.
and she was going, maybe we'll see this one or we'll see this one. I said, hey, hello. Who are you talking to? She said, I'm talking to you. And I said, hello, what makes you think that I'm going to go to a Broadway show?
You'd go to one. If there was something that interested you, if there was some particular...
A Broadway show about football.
Well, no.
Maybe I'd go.
Isn't there something? You like certain things.
You said Grease. You'd go see
Grease.
Yes, I would. Yes, I would. That would be the only one I would go
see. Grease still on Broadway?
See.
I guess it's Saturday Night Fever.
But only if Adrian Zemed was in Grease would I go to see Grease. Because he's so dreamy. Well, listen, I'm pathetic. You guys, you go ahead. You have your fun at Broadway. You know what I'm truly excited about?
I can accept the theater thing, but I will not accept the fact that you're going to eat at one restaurant the whole time we're in New York. You're going to go because we're not
going
to go. I'm going to take you out.
I'm not going anywhere but the Palm.
Don't you like a good Italian restaurant?
I'm not going anywhere but the Palm.
Oh, my God.
That's it. You know me. I know what I like. We got to deal with the Palm. We can eat there for free. That's where I'm eating.
Forget about it.
And tonight, I'm very excited.
Because you get bored.
No, I won't.
No, you won't.
No, but you know I won't. No,
especially if somebody challenges you. Now that I just said that, now there's no hope.
You know me. I do like the same thing every day.
I understand you
if
do.
If I could, I would.
I don't understand, but I understand.
And I'm so excited that tonight, if anybody that has DirecTV,
yes,
tonight, European football is finally on TV.
You know, you see, I make the mistake of actually looking and saying, what? Because you make it sound like something that's really exciting.
World League.
It begins its season tonight?
Yeah, I'm going to watch the Amsterdam Admirals play the Scottish Claymores tonight.
Right. The Admirals are still in. The Claymores are one of the original WLAF teams.
Yes, they are. Yes.
Very good.
Two games on tonight. Very exciting. I'm going to stay up all night just watch this crappy Europe NFL football.
That's very exciting.
Sad to say, that's what floats my boat. You're excited about going to the Broadway show?
Yes, I am.
I'm excited about turning on the satellite tonight and watching the Barcelona Dragons play the Rhine Fire. Because that's my life. I love it.
Very good.
I just love it.
It'll be fun. I do hope that we can get you maybe at some point out to another restaurant. Just
nope.
Even if we like bring a menu or something like that.
Nope.
But you like lots of different foods.
Yeah, I do.
You're still doing the protein thing. So.
Yeah, so the Palm is great. So it's
steak
nothing but
is it.
Just steak and salad. Mm-hmm. That's it. Hello, Tanya.
Oh, my God.
Hello, baby.
Hi.
Hello, baby.
Hi.
It's Tonya.
See, now we don't have to tell Tonya she's on the air because she has called us.
Right. Correct. She knows.
However, if we were to call somebody, we would be forced to read this idiotic card, which no other disc jockey in the world has to do.
You guys were in conversation. I didn't know that you were going to talk to me yet.
Well, there we are. Yes, well, here we are. Hello. Hi, Tonya.
I love you guys so much.
Oh, no, love you more, Tonya.
Yes. No. I love you guys so much.
No.
Do you remember 95 Triple X? It was through Washington.
95 Triple X.
Yeah, I live in Vermont now, but I used to live in Virginia.
What is 95 Triple X? Some kind of dirty website?
No, it was another radio station.
Oh, Triple X.
It was in competition with you.
No, don't remember that one, honey.
Well, my sister used to listen to that one. I used to listen to you guys all the time.
Really?
And I loved you guys back then. And I'm 20 years old now, and I've been living in Vermont for 6 years, and I've been trying to get you guys on the line, and I'm 5 months pregnant now, so my nerves are kinda.
Oh, well. All right.
You're gonna be the first girl I asked today to touch herself.
Yeah, that's it.
You know what?
Yeah.
You know what? Well,
you got
I
one in the oven.
I was gonna tell you this, but I said no. But
are you married?
I live with my boyfriend, so you can ask him if you don't believe.
That answers the marriage.
Baby's having babies.
What's
sensitive, honey?
My nipples. Because
oh, really?
I'm pregnant.
Yes.
And the doctor said, well, if you rub them, then they'll feel better. So I rub them, and I always listen to you guys, and I rub my nipples a lot. And
well, that's nice of you, Tanya.
You turned this around.
You did turn that around. That's terrific.
About your voices. It's something about your voices, and it's so soothing.
Really? Are your nipples all red and angry?
No, actually, no. They're very soft and, like, they're brown. Well, they're like a copper color, too. They're nice.
You're a naughty girl, Tanya.
Why don't you rub them right now?
Okay, I am.
Rub them right now.
I am.
Has anything come out of them?
Oh, stop it. You ruined the move. You ruined the move, man.
No, I can't ruin the move.
Who is the celebrity you most resemble, Tanya?
Oh, my God. You know what? Everybody says Jennifer Lopez.
Jennifer Lopez.
Really?
And I answered that right away, so you know it's true.
Yes, you did. Well, why don't you just keep touching your nipples for a second? Rub them vigorously. Right between your thumb and your forefinger. Rub them before somebody from CBS calls us and says this is the latest thing we can't do on the show.
Stop doing that. There she goes. She's continuing to rub them, aren't you, Tanya?
Yes, but there's no milk.
Before they put out, no, there will be.
Before they put a
giant sign saying no nipple touching allowed.
Here we go. Just hold on a second.
It's coming to you.
There it is. I see it.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Get the glass.
Good job.
Like that.
Good
Thank
job,
you.
Tanya.
Thank you, Tanya.
I love you guys.
No, love you. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
It was a very sensual call.
It's a good call.
From a pregnant lady. Hello.
Very nice.
Don and Mike show.
Yes, Don and Mike?
Yes.
Yes, I'm wanting to know if I could get like a birthday spanking, please.
No, we don't spank guys.
But even if I'd be willing to touch myself?
No, I'm positive you can touch yourself.
I will stir my soup for you.
No, thank you. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hello.
My name is Derek Lancer, and I'm the great communicator. That's what I take
Obviously.
To the show, and I know I'm on the air.
All right, thank you, Derek. You are a great communicator.
I have a story for you.
What's your story, sir?
I'm a disabled veteran, and I haven't been to work for 3 years.
What war were you disabled in, Derek?
Desert Storm.
What happened to you, Derek?
Just migraines and anxiety from the chemicals over there.
From the chemicals that the evil Saddam Hussein shot at you?
Well, the chemicals that our country sold them to shoot at me.
Oh, so you're mad at our country?
No. Oh, no.
No?
It's not their fault, right? But I have a story. I finally got a job.
He is a great communicator.
So you're not physically disabled. You're just mentally disabled.
Well, yeah, migraines, you know, keeps me from working.
Migraines?
So I finally get a job at a fiber optics company. Mm-hmm. So I go work there. They want me to climb poles. I have a degree in electronics. So I said, fine. So I start at 6:30 in the morning, and they want to pay me 8 hours for working 12 hours.
You sound like you're very angry.
You have nothing to be angry about. You have nothing to be angry about. So what? So you went to a foreign country and fought a war, and you came back with some little migraines. You want to be angry? Think about this. Every time I call somebody, I have to read this card. Hi, this is the Don and Mike show. Do you mind going on the air with
that's
us?
That's a gripe. Now, that's a beef.
That's a real problem.
Right.
That's not the end. I went back to get my money. I said, come get me. I'm not going to work for free. So I go back, and the secretary, I said, and you know, I'm going to report your boss to the labor union, the labor board. And she says, look, Derek, you've only worked for this company 4 hours. Don't come in here and threaten me.
You did this, like, after only working 4 hours?
Of course. I was...
Well, what the hell are you doing?
Well, I tried to go work, you know, but I'm not going to get paid for nothing.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. You said that they were only going to pay you 8 hours work for 12 hours, yet you only worked 4 hours.
Well, what they do in the morning, you go there at 6:30 at the job, right? Then you drive to the job site, which could take 2 hours or 3, depending on traffic, in their company truck.
Yeah, but wasn't that like the first day? I mean, after that, wouldn't you be able to get to the job site quicker?
No, this is every day. All the guys.
I got news for you. There are a lot of people that work in cities all over America that work from 9 to 5, and some people get up at 6 o'clock, but they get paid from 9 to 5.
Right, but if they go to the company to punch in and then get in the company truck, they're going to get paid.
I'd like to punch you. What rank were you when you served our country?
I left E5. I was with the Marines and I was with the Navy.
That means you were what, a brigadier general?
What is an E5?
No. I worked for the chaplain. I was the one that had to give the last rites, write letters to the family that people had died.
Didn't we lose like just a couple of people in that war?
I thought nobody died in Desert Storm.
You lost a lot of people from our own mistakes.
Yeah, there was some friendly fire. Yes,
friendly fire.
But other than that, we were undefeated in Desert Storm.
Oh, exactly. Those
we batted 1,000.
They were putting up their arms, begging for us to take them with us.
So you're a priest?
No, I worked for the priest because he couldn't carry a gun. I had to protect him.
Okay, so you guarded the chaplain.
But I told him, let me tell you, if they start firing, I'm going to hold you in front of me, believe me.
That's very nice of you to say to a man of the cloth.
Let me just say what a cherry gig that is for for all the men and women who actually have the balls to strap on a gun and go serve the country. That's like a cherry gig.
Guard the priest.
Guard a priest. And yeah. and you have the balls to call the show and say that you're mentally disabled because of that?
Not because of that. Because of the chemicals I inhaled for sitting over there for a year in the sand.
Yeah, but don't you think on your very first day, I mean, if you were going to whine and complain, don't you think you should do it maybe after the week is over and you establish that? I mean, you know, who would have known? Maybe they would have worked it out.
After I go pay $150 for boots to climb the telephone poles and buy my own tools, then find this out.
What do you say about somebody that might get a job in an office and they have to buy like a new pair of shoes and a suit?
Well, the guy that trained me, he let me know all this, and he's been complaining himself for the longest time. I said, well, why haven't you went to the labor board? Because it's against the law.
When you were out there, did any of these priests try to exercise you at any chance? At any time? Did they try to pull the devil out of you?
They pulled the demons out.
I was the worst partier on the ship, actually.
What do you mean the worst party? You mean you partied a lot?
I'm the one that went out and got drunk all the time.
Shocker.
I'm the one that I made 2 cups of wine, so when I went to dump it outside, I finished them off. But my chaplain knew all this. He didn't care.
You did? What did you do with the wine?
You know the little cups when you have communion?
Yeah, you have the wine?
You would finish
the sacrificial wine you would drink to get loaded?
Well, I'd have to go dump it out the side, right? I didn't want to waste it.
Wow. Those are the chemicals. How long were you not working?
2 years.
2 solid years. And you finally get back into the workforce and you work for 4 hours and then you quit?
I tried, man. But now I got another job and I'm happy.
All right, good. Well, then why are you calling us?
Home Depot.
Congratulations, the Home Depot. Well, why are you calling us then?
I just want to let you know if you agreed with the law, do you think they should have paid me or not?
No.
You should work 8 hours. You should be paid for 8 hours. Should be paid for 6 hours.
Even if I worked 12?
Yeah, but you only worked 4.
No. I'm saying if I would have worked from 6:30 in the morning.
Well, how will we know that? You never did. You never completed a work day.
But these guys that were training me or working with, they do it every day, and they're not getting paid.
Well, listen, as Mike tried to explain to you, there are lots of people who have jobs that start at 9, and because they live far away, they have to leave their homes at 3 hours early. It's called a commute.
Yeah, but when they get to the job at 9, they get paid from 9 till when they end, right?
You usually get paid for an 8-hour day.
Yes. I left my house at 4 in the morning to get there at 6:30. I don't get paid till start at 8 in the morning. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, then why were you getting there at 6:30?
That's when my job started. They didn't want to pay me from 6:30. That's my complaint.
I don't buy it.
No, I don't think so either.
When I got to the office at 6:30 in the morning, that's when my pay should have started. I punched in.
You drove, you left at 4 o'clock. You drove 2.5 hours? An hour. You said you left at 4 and got there at 6:30.
That's about 4:45.
Well, now that's changing.
The time keeps changing now.
Now the changing is.
The bottom line is I got to the office at 6:30, punched in.
And what time did you quit? You quit when? At 10:30?
After they told me they're not going to pay me 8 hours.
What time did you quit?
12 o'clock.
No, they told you they were going to pay you 8 hours.
Well, no, they did not. They said you're working till 6 at night. You quit work at 4, but your drive back, you're not going to get paid for.
Listen, based on the telephone call, if I was you, I would go to the nearest vet's hospital
and just sign
up because they're going to give you whatever you need. I believe that you are mentally disabled.
Thank you. Can I get that in writing to get more disability?
Yeah, I'm positive, yeah. Absolutely.
I think you guys are great. I listen to you every day.
Thank you.
And I'm glad when I get through.
What area, just so anybody that's in the market for home products, what area of Home Depot will you be coaching people in?
I'm not going to say that.
Oh, come on, just the area of the store. Now, you don't have to say the specific Home Depot. Just like, will you be in lawn and garden? Will you be in lumber, paint? You know, where are you going to be in?
Believe it or not, I will be in some specialty customer service.
Oh, fantastic. Now, have you started this job at Home Depot yet?
No.
Now, when do you start?
I just snapped and gave him a urine test.
You gave him a urine test?
Yeah, he said you pretty much got the job.
I'm surprised that urine didn't burn through the cup.
Are you going to pass that test?
Of course.
All right, so when you pass...
I don't do drugs. I got... A VA gives me enough that I have to dump down the toilet.
Okay, all right, I got you. So when do you find out if you get this job? When do you start?
Friday, so Monday I'll start.
Monday, so if you start Friday, then what time Friday? Friday morning?
They haven't given me a schedule yet.
So if it's Friday morning, it's, say, 8 o'clock, you should be out of that job by noon.
Well, actually, that was the second job. I had one before. It lasted 8 hours.
Lasted eight hours.
So, and my girlfriend, she's going to school to be a chiropractor. She's the one that told me to go get a job.
Hey, there you go.
There you go. All right. Very nice. Thank you. Thank you, Derek.
Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
An angry Marine veteran with headaches.
I'm not sure exactly why he called.
The headaches are caused by the voices.
I will tell you this, though. I've noticed this in the church that we go to.
Yes.
On Sunday, I would imagine by the time that the last service is done.
Right.
Because they get them in and out on Sunday. They got like the 7:30, the 9 o'clock, the 10:30, and sometimes the noon.
Yeah.
I've noticed that at the end of Mass, that whatever wine is left in the jug, the priest always chugs it.
Do you mean in the chalice or in the... You don't mean the jug. You're making it sound like there's a big gallows.
No, you know what I mean.
You mean in the chalice.
Yes, in the chalice.
Well, I've always... In the Catholic services, I would always notice at the end of the Mass when they're doing the cleanup, and they do the same thing in the Episcopal
Church. Right.
They fold the sacrificial cloth, but then he does the one big gulp.
He drinks all the rest of it.
Priest always did.
And I'm thinking, you know, if he does four shows on Sunday...
That's true.
You know, by the time 1 o'clock comes... He started drinking at 8:30 in the morning.
Well, and
for goodness sake.
Right. And the priests that I grew up around, you know, they all like to taste of the grape once in a while. I mean, even when they weren't on the altar. So it would make sense that you overfill the chalice. I mean, you fill it to the brim, and then you say, the body of Christ, the blood of Christ. Body. Oh, you only have four receiving here.
You know what else I've got to say he does? He also eats all the wafers.
I think he's supposed to do
if
that.
If there's wafers that are left. He eats all those too.
Yeah, but that's he's not doing that for fun.
I don't know.
You tasted that. That's not like that's not like eating a Ritz.
I don't know, but you know, in a pinch, if you're hungry, you know, if you're drunk.
Have you ever, in all the times you have received Holy Communion,
yes.
Have you ever, ever? And I'm thinking back for myself too, because I'm not sure. Have you ever thought of it as, boy, I'm hungry and I'm looking forward to the wafer?
Yes. Yes, I have.
I don't think I ever have.
I have,
because it's just such a non. Food item.
And I've actually tried to chug the wine to get more than my fair share.
Right.
You know, just to get a little buzz to get me through the rest of the service.
But you know, if you ever have those days, like in mid-February, where everybody's got, like, the croupy cough in there, and it sounds like a tuberculosis.
I told you a long time ago that I'm positive that you're getting something, because they're using is an old rag to wipe off after somebody puts, you know, their gooey lips on that big metal glass that everybody drinks out of.
Yeah, it's been blessed, but it hasn't been disinfected.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Let me get this straight. This guy has an access to power tools?
Yeah, that's what it sounded
that's
like.
Right.
That's nice. That's
right.
Nice. Anyways, listen, I called to ask Don specifically. You are aware that the NFL Europe is playing?
Yes, I know. These are repeats. I purposely have not seen the results from this past weekend.
Uh-huh.
So that when I watch the game tonight,
so this is going to be a rerun tonight?
Yes.
Oh.
Boy, you are... I mean, not only is it the European League, but it's reruns?
Yes, so when the games are on tonight, I purposely have sheltered myself.
When do they play?
They play on Saturday and Sunday.
That's right. Okay, well, listen, I just want to make sure I'm not the only one out there watching it.
Well, no, there's two of us.
Okay.
And don't worry, I'm sure that retarded guy from Home Depot watches, too.
Well, I only have one word for him. It's called lithium.
All right, thank you, my friend.
All right, bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, let's take one more. Let's go to Bob in Wisconsin. Bob.
Oh, the neon lights are bright on Broadway.
Broadway.
Mike is going out tonight with Rod.
Oh, it's tomorrow night.
That they're gay, Donnie, just because they want to be on Broadway.
You love this guy.
Why don't you just go to the farm? What you think now? Just go on to Broadway. Or are you just afraid that you are gay?
There he goes.
Yes, that's it.
Oh, one of his longer selections.
Exactly. That's it, exactly.
Oh, my God.
Right, that's enough of that. Toe tapping, touch tones right there. Time for caller 100 right now.
All right.
Talk to either lovely Lisa or tantalizing Toya.
I like that.
Standing by, we'll take the 100th caller right now. And a chance to have your rent or mortgage paid. Our toll-free number is 1-877-365-3636.
Huzzah! The Don and Mike Show.
All right, just ahead of caller 100, I have the luckiest girl in the world on the telephone.
Oh, yes.
Hi, no, sweetie.
No, it's me. It's
I know. I know. Miss Lucky. Hey, listen, I wanted to ask you.
Well, I thought you were referring to your ex-wife.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a lucky lady. Working in the sewage treatment plant.
Are you OTR today or something?
OTR. Let me think of what that could be. Overtired?
No.
On the rag?
Yes.
On the rag. Oh, it's on the rag. Gotcha. No, I threw away the rag. You forget. There is no rag.
Oh, but you still have the symptoms, though.
No, that's just like my continual symptoms now. Now it's not just, you know, 4 days during the month.
Well, let me just tell you what's going on with the second luckiest woman in the world.
Yes.
I got home last night, and my dinner wasn't ready.
Which is a cause for immediate dismissal.
Well,
I think
Archie.
That's the reason that the first wife was fired.
Really? Well, I went,
oh,
I got
Archie.
Well, you know, you made it through 18 years, honey. I think I may re-upped you.
No, you know what? I almost got fired. I've gotten fired so many times because of Bart, almost. Just like last week in the car with all the guys listening, when I wasn't taking proper...
Oh, right, when you've been a bad mother. Yeah, I've almost fired you as my wife then.
I know.
So I got home, and their dinner was ready, and my dinner was still in the oven. So she said, your dinner will be about 30 minutes, making me some chicken, some nice spicy chicken like I like.
And I took pity on you.
Yeah, she took pity on me, and I was sitting down at the table just looking at them eating. And then she said to me, oh, listen, just go have a martini.
That's it. Yes, you broke down on that one pretty quick, didn't you?
I felt bad for you. And did you hear Bart say, Mom, why'd you say that?
But all right.
And you were, I mean, there was just smoke where you used to be.
So I went out to the bar area and mixed myself one. And,
right.
And came back, and as soon as that soothing liquid made its way down my throat, suddenly the fact that I had to wait 30 more minutes for dinner didn't seem to be such a problem.
Totally irrelevant.
And I was sitting there listening to the events of the day with my family, them eating and me drinking.
Right.
When the phone rang, and I knew immediately when Frieda picked up the phone that it was George McFly.
Mm-hmm.
I knew right away. I don't even think she said, hello, George.
Right.
I could just tell. And she looked over at me. And listen, this is why I am going to sign you up for another 18 years of marriage. Because you are good in this regard. I was sitting there, and I've had about half of this martini with nothing to eat. And I was a little loopy already. Because I have one martini, and I go to bed at 9:30.
Right.
I was a little loopy, and she just turned at me, and I said, is it George? And she nodded her head, and I just went, no.
No way.
I can't speak.
I can't speak. I am dumb.
There you go.
That's what I said. Can't speak, am dumb. And
sure.
My wife is such a sweetheart. She said, fine.
Mm-hmm.
She turned her back. She continued talking with him for God knows how long, because by this point, my dinner was ready.
It's like prime time for George to talk, when most people would be eating dinner or, you know, or doing whatever.
So what I did was I just I gave her a kiss and said, thank you for the dinner. Thank you for letting me have a drink. And I went into my room.
Thank you for talking to George. Yes.
I went into the cave.
And you were Blotto from your one Land of the Giant drink.
Yeah, that's
Land of the Giant.
That's all. And I didn't even drink all of it. It's like half a martini, and I am
you got
out of it.
A glass. You know, at the beginning of the Flintstones, when the ribs come out, this glass would go with those ribs.
It's like the Land Before Time.
It is a big martini glass. But one good thing about
it's
me,
like a bucket with a stem.
Does it look like a hot tub?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, knock it off. It's no bigger, really, than the ones we had down here a couple of days ago that those guys sent in with our names on.
Maybe a little bigger.
No, really, it's a standard. I bought it at the Macy's. It's just a standard champagne glass or martini glass.
Standard martini glass.
Yeah. Standard martini glass. But anyway, you're wonderful.
Into the Poconos. Have you seen the kind that you bathe in?
Hey, didn't we get in there one of those one time?
Yeah, I think
you
so.
You tell that story about both you guys in the tub.
Yes. Yeah. And that, didn't we bring Bart on that trip with us when he was just a baby?
Right. Yeah, we were all laying in bed looking up at the mirror.
We were. You know how it is when you have a little kid, you don't have any sure. time to yourself, so you're like, you know what, let's go to the Poconos. Mm-hmm. You know, when he's sleeping, we'll do it.
Right.
And as it turns out, he never slept. And
he had a wonderful time.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think it was Frida, Bart, and I in the gigantic champagne glass shaped hot tub.
The honeymoon suite.
Yes, all of us in our... in our bathing suit. How queer is that? So anyway, listen, here's a compliment coming your way. Here it is.
Okay.
This is what I was building up to. Thank you. Last night, thank you for talking to George for the amount of time that you talked to him, because you knew that I was Blotto and that I simply could not talk to him last night. And what I want to know is, what did he have to say?
You know, it's a sad state of my marriage that I'm so desperate for male companionship. That George is a pleasant little diversion when your husband, you know. And then I told you I went into your room to tell you that he had just called or that he wanted you to call him today, and you could not get it through your addled brain that he wasn't still on the phone, and you were picking up the phone saying, I don't hear him.
You're,
hung up, darling.
You're far away.
He's not there.
You're in Martini Land.
Yes I was.
I can't get him.
So what did he say?
Yeah, he was sick that he had missed your call yesterday.
Wow.
And he was worried that you were unhappy with him because he wasn't there. But he has got an internet addiction, and so he falls asleep on the internet. I had given him my email address. I said, "Oh, you should email me sometime." And I told him my email address. Unfortunately, I told him that before I knew that his regular little internet note was 17 pages long.
Ooh. He sends internet mail that's 17 pages long. You know what that's like? That's like the letter that Charlie Broyhill sent to Leah Remini. Remember when Leah told me that Charlie sent her like a 17-page letter?
17-page email?
That's
like wacko.
That's George.
He marches to the beat of his own drummer. I think he's a very interesting, entertaining guy in little bits when you're lonely and when you're a lonely suburban housewife. So I'm in line.
All right. Well, thanks for handling that, and I will call him then today.
Okay, but from now on, you know, your dinner usually is on time. That was a one-night deal.
I know.
All right, good.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, you're welcome. Boo-boo.
Thank you for allowing me to drink last night.
Yeah, but it just reaffirmed why we have the verboten ban on drinking during the week.
Why? I didn't get out of control.
You know what? But you are very sweet, and you try hard, and you look at me in the eye. I mean, they wave her off. It's kind of like Rudy looking at you in the eye. I mean, they wander, but you make much more of an effort than you do sober.
Listen to the two of you today. I predicted, really, that you're going to have one waiting for you at the door from now on.
Well,
I mean, it's starting to, you know, it sounds like she enjoys you martini-laden.
He's nicer but stupider, so you get your choice. Smart and crabby or stupid and sweet, you know?
All right, honey.
All right, love you.
That's enough out of you. Love you, too.
Okay, goodbye.
Thank you, goodbye. We're just looking for a quick answer. What did George say last night?
I can't imagine getting a 17-page email. I'd delete it even if it was something I wanted to read.
Nor could I. Well, you'll find out in just a moment.
Very good.
What the hell he writes in a 17-page email. Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Hello?
Yeah, is the guy calling 100 yet?
No, it's you. Turn your radio down, please.
Okay.
What is your name?
Mike.
Hi, Mike. Where are you calling from?
Westminster.
Where's that, Virginia?
No, Maryland.
Maryland, okay. My friend, you have won a pair of tickets for the opening night of Rent at the National Theater May 9th.
What was that? Did you just burp, sir?
No, that wasn't me.
Okay.
Get your tickets by calling Telecharge 800-447-7400. But wait, there's more. You've qualified to have us pay your rent or your mortgage. We are going to blow the doors off next Friday, the big free money show. We pay rents and mortgages. How much do you pay every month in rent or mortgage?
Just about $1,100.
Just about $1,100.
Hunter.
Love to make that happen for you. Thank you for listening. Make sure you're listening to the whole show next Friday.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, my friend. Hold on.
Thank ye.
Thank you. Thank ye. All right, Rob, we better get the soap opera music ready.
Okay.
Because we're going to call George McFly to see what's new.
All right.
Here we go. I think Frieda told me last night that he's not been officially fired yet.
Good.
From his new disc jockey job.
Very good. So he's still there with his family and everything's okay.
I think.
Hello.
George.
Don.
Hi, this is the Don and Mike Show. Do you mind going on the air with us?
Well, I wouldn't mind that at all.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, my disc jockey friend, George McFly.
Yeah.
Hello, George.
Phenomenal radio talent. A little light upstairs, though.
Are we live?
We're live, George.
Yes.
This is going to sound kind of odd, but would you mind if I transfer phones? Because my other phone by the computer is in, and I can work offline. And I'll still give you guys undivided attention, but would you mind real quick?
Sure, whatever.
Okay.
Go ahead, George. Whatever.
Needs to be close to the computer.
And Mike knows this guy, too. I don't want to make it out like he's just my friend.
You have yearly contact with him, and he doesn't call me at home. Not that I don't want him to.
The guy, if he ever got his head out of his ass, he could be doing mornings in a major market. The guy's really one hell of a disc jockey.
I mean, I'm here now. It's cool, but I've done that.
But he's just nuts. I mean, he's really seriously, like certifiably nuts.
Hey, Mike?
Yeah, George.
How are you?
I'm wonderful, George. Is everything going well with you? Don said you called him, and I always wonder if everything's okay.
Well, yeah, but, 17 pages, isn't that wacko?
George,
Mike?
I don't imagine getting a 17-page email. I mean, I don't like emails that are longer than a page.
Well, it's just that, I'm brand new to this. I'm a rookie, a novice, but...
George, I want to talk about your job. But first, I would like the answer to the question Mike asked. Well, who would you send a 17-page email to?
My boss.
Your boss? Well, what's the content of it, though? I mean, what has to be so long?
Well,
like a novel.
There's different thoughts, and then there's different paragraphs for different thoughts.
Aye.
And so each page is like a thought. How'd
you like to be the PD getting that? You've got mail. There's a 17-page letter from your morning man.
Well, and then you have different relationships. Like, I have a professional relationship with him, and then I have a personal. He's a Greek guy with
George,
great philosophy.
Hold on.
What?
You're breaking one of the prime directives.
I didn't mean to step on you.
No. You're not friends with these people. These people who are in programming and are in management, they are not your friend. You don't have a personal relationship with him.
They don't like me then.
No, listen, they don't like you. You don't like them. That's how it works.
Wait, it's all coming back to me now.
It's
been 6 months and we haven't talked in a while.
All right, I'm seeing something. You're going to chase him out of this job like you've chased him out of every job he's ever had.
No,
just trying to win the job.
No.
That's all he cares about. Remember that.
I'm telling him to be a realist. That whoever this program director is that he's working for now in Spokane, I guarantee you, he's not his friend. You're not friends with him.
But aren't you happy he's doing well and he's not having problems?
Well, this is why I said we should call him originally, because late Sunday night...
You said he was out of work or something.
He called and said that he was getting fired.
I said, hey, Don, tell him what I really said.
You said, I think I'm getting fired.
No, I said, Don, I said verbatim, and I wrote this down on my email here. It says, quote, Don... I said, are you getting ready for bed? Did I bother you? And you said, yeah, well, you're not bothering me, but yeah, I'm getting ready for bed. And I said,
well, you know, we need to talk. And he said, why? And I said, I think you might win the bet. Which was, you know,
that you would be fired.
But we didn't. No, the bet was that I was just gonna split, go to L.A. or something like that.
No.
Okay, so I haven't lost the bet. Then.
No. The bet right here was Robbie. Wasn't the bet that he's gonna be fired in a year?
Not to split hairs, but the bet was that he would not be at that gig.
Okay,
so it doesn't mean fired. It means he'd leave or just be out of
or
there.
Be fired.
And
right,
now he
whatever.
Said to you that you might win the bet, which would indicate that you were leaving for some reason. So we pick it up there.
Yeah. And Spokane is beautiful. It's a great place, and that's why this whole format change thing and what's transpiring, it's kind of got me a little bit blue.
All right, so what was the format?
It was like Wave used to be, just kind of adult, hot, contemporary, yet not smoking, you know, not real bubblegum, just talking to adults.
And what is the format now?
It's something I never heard of. It's called Modern Alternative.
Modern Alternative.
Yeah.
Well, that's just like Third Eye Blind and Lenny Kravitz, right?
Yeah, which is very strange because at first I'm like, wait a minute, I can't relate to this audience, you know, this Rasta cap wearing, play your guitar on the street, pierced nipples thing. But then I'm like, wait a minute, I did that and I have them.
Yeah, so, I mean, you'd be perfect for those people.
Yeah, I mean, right. But, you know, it was just this whole, when they came up and they approached and they were talking about the upcoming format, and they're saying basically that I couldn't do what I do.
And what is it that you're doing now? Are you still rhyming?
What exactly do you do? No, isn't that strange, you know, because, no, of course not.
Well, good for you.
Were you joking?
No, I was serious, because I know that when you get depressed, you go back to the crutch of rhyming on the radio when you're talking over a record.
Oh, no, I graduated from that. I mean, I'm much, much more mature.
It always like, how do you do? It's 2:42. Things are fine. I'm George McFly.
No,
it's a nice blue sky.
More thought into those rhymes.
I know, but it's just like a step above Dr. Seuss. But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Okay, I wonder how I can play, for example, a lot of the things I'm doing, I mean, yes, I still add a little spicy rap now and then into a bit, you know, like it's springtime, and so I was talking about being Twitter-pated from Bambi, you know, Bambi?
Uh-huh.
Twitter-pated, and so I went into a little rap.
What?
Little stories, little raps. You'd have to call my machine back. I got it on my machine somewhere.
Twitter-pated?
Do you do this over records?
Yeah, over music, or I play my guitar, which they banned, you know, I was banned from playing my guitar, but I was never that good. You know, I moved here with the knowledge that I had creative freedom, and so I just jammed, but, you know, I didn't just play my own stuff. I played, like, parody spoofs, you know, topical things like that. You know, if we're giving away a trip to Hawaii, what?
What?
You don't understand. Remember what I used to do a long time ago when we worked together? Oh, are you there?
What are you doing, George?
Is that call waiting?
No, I don't have call waiting.
What was that?
Oh, I dropped the phone.
Dropped the phone, all right.
Well, look, because I was going to get my guitar.
All right, well, go ahead, get your guitar.
I got it.
All right, well, give us an example of what you're talking about.
Okay, you guys familiar with any contemporary music?
Of course.
What's your favorite, contemporary song?
I like Lenny Kravitz. I Belong to You.
He jams, doesn't he?
Yes.
Mike, how about you?
I don't care.
You guys know that Tal Bachman?
What, She's So High?
No, that if I...
This is now...
If You Sleep.
No, I don't know that.
Well, Tal Bachman goes figure out to find perfection, you know. No one's looking more, you know, it's a good pop song that we play all the time.
So do you sing that yourself?
Well, it's just that we're giving away a trip to Hawaii. So, yeah, I go on the air and I spoof on it and my partner reacts. It's like...
All right, let me hear your spoof.
Okay, okay, let's see. So something like, vacation we give away, a Hawaiian holiday.
Oh, yeah, keep going. It's wonderful.
Road trip before you win for free.
That's about it so far.
And they get annoyed at you doing that?
Really?
Well, it's a little more produced.
Okay, so you record it, right?
Yep.
So how many...
wide trip, you went for free. No, actually, it started out where I had to do a parody. I had to do a spoof because the reality was too harsh for me to tell the listeners on the air. First of all, it started out after we talked the first time when I got here. I was banned from doing colonics talk. No colonic talk at all.
Okay, about your enemas.
Yeah, and the thing is I had, I had such a great prospect for a colon therapist who was going to do them for free on a weekly basis.
George, let me talk about George loves colons.
He likes colonics. He likes getting enemas. He believes that's the key to health. Is
he
that
loves
right
talking then? About it on the radio.
You know, what's odd is, you know, at my age now, at 36, it's very important. You know, you get your oil changed in your car every 3,000 miles. However, people scoff at the fact that I get colonics seasonally. And if I can get them once a week, I'd rather do that than win the lotto.
All right, so your boss told you no more bits about colonics.
No more bits on colonics, and that's right. Where it started. And then, little by little, things got taken away. For example, when I went to go get the station pictures taken, I got to the photo place, and the photographer here in the Inland Northwest also breeds turkeys, birds, for a living. And I said, what are those huge turkeys doing in the pen? And he said, I harvest them.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, you harvest. In Spokane here, that means kill.
Yes.
And so I just happened to be very, very, very broke that week. And I remember praying the night before, saying, God, you know, please make me feel like a provider. You know, I want to feel like a man. I can't feed my family. We're down to saltines for the week. I'm not exaggerating. So I...
Well, wait, George, how much are they paying you at this station?
Minimum wage.
No, come on. Be honest with me.
No, I mean, I actually do okay, but you know I always brought that old debt with me from other markets from my gambling days. You know, so in other words, ethically, I couldn't renege on my debt to the people I owe, yet salary range-wise, it varies so much from job to job that, let's say, you know, if I made good, great money when I was in D.C.,
right.
For example, then I move here and I bring all my debt from D.C. with me. So it's not so nice of a salary anymore when you get here, but that's, you know, that's none of the...
All right, so you're praying to God because you're having to feed your family saltines.
Oh, I was praying big time. It was a very, very tough week that week. You know, I mean, I don't know when's the last time you were down to oatmeal, and, you know, you have to measure it by the tablespoon and divvy. But it's quite humbling, it's kind of neat too. You know, oppression breeds strength, and right now I'm feeling like Samson. So I go there and I said, "What are you going to do with these birds?" He had 3 68-pound turkeys.
68 pounds?
Yeah, 68 pounds, where you couldn't even fit them in the oven. You had to cut them in half.
Yeah, my God. You know.
And then he also had
right
two.
There?
Excuse me.
Are you okay there?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Two geese and a rooster. And he offered them to me. And at first, you know, I'm from the city, and I had no idea what he was talking about.
Well, George, there was God answering your prayer. You're having to feed your family saltines and oatmeal, and this man's offering you a 68-pound turkey.
A bird floats down from the sky.
3 68-pound turkeys.
Wow, that would be enough to feed your family for weeks.
Two geese and a rooster.
Right.
Well, I accepted. At the same time, I didn't know exactly what I was going to do with it. I got nervous. Because I'm not a hunter. I mean, I could act like I am, but I don't really shoot.
So he was offering you them live.
Yeah, remember that time I went deer hunting just to look macho, but then I didn't put a bullet in, knowing that if I saw one, I wasn't going to shoot it anyway?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was softy. Anyway, so, but that was the contingency. The whole thing that held it up is I wanted to take him if he would have, you know, dressed them.
Yes, harvested them, cleaned them.
Okay. Yeah, so I called up a butcher, and, man, it was very odd because he said, well, you're going to have to hold them while I whack them over the neck.
with a cleaver.
While he beheads them.
Well, I couldn't do it. I said I can't do it because this guy warned me that they scratch. Their talons are very, very, very sharp.
I believe the original question was...
I don't know what the original,
question was. So the guy doesn't let you do bits about colonics anymore. And now I'm hearing about how you're holding a 68-pound turkey while they're cutting the head off.
Getting to the point.
All right, hurry, please.
Okay. Anyway, long story short, Nick called the butcher. We went there, dressed in our hunter best, and he bopped them over the head with a shovel. I'm not kidding. And they were all flopping. And while I cleavered them over their little turkey necks.
You cut the heads off?
I cut them off, but it took me with a dull cleaver, and so it took a very, very long time. Mm. But according to the guy, they were already dead, even though they were moving.
It didn't take as long as this story. George, where are you going with this?
The point being, I looked up to the sky and I said, you know what, I thought I was going to feel bad, but thank you for giving me this 300 pounds of poultry. So the next day on the air, this is a great tie-in to the colonic thing because I am being told that I couldn't talk colonics. And then I said, how do I possibly go on the air with this and sound PC? Because, you know, people don't want to hear that I'm whacking turkeys over the head even around here, these parts. And so I made a parody out of it, a spoof. And that's what started the whole parody thing. See, I had to explain it in a PC manner, and so I said, you know, this is, you know...
Wait. Why did you have to explain this on your radio show in a PC manner? Why don't you just get on the radio and say, you know what, I'm broke, this guy gave me three turkeys.
And when you say parody, was it a song that you wrote about it?
Yeah, it was, You know the old Bob Dylan, Knocking on Heaven's Door?
Yes.
Knock, knock, knocking on the turkey's head or something like that?
Yeah, no, yeah, it was, basically it was Wham Bam Thank You Ma'am, Turkey's Dead. Wasn't me who hit him in the head.
Why wouldn't you just get on the radio and just tell the story?
Well, because it's more fun this way.
So
did you ever call Garrison Keillor at home and tell him?
Oh, I hate friggin' Garrison Keillor.
And you know what my style is of talking and in writing? Because Garrison Keillor can relate. We spoke, and he seems very...
Oh, my God.
Well, Mike, here's the scoop.
That was Don that said that.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
No, sorry, George.
Sorry, it's your... your guru. It was your guru that said that, George. I was just sitting here.
I hate Garrison Keillor. He's a fag.
Yeah, no, it's the way you speak and tell a story. At 12 o'clock, let's say a clock is your speech. At 12 o'clock, you start on a topic of turkeys. By 6 o'clock, you don't know what the heck the guy was talking about in the first place. And then at 12 o'clock again, an hour later.
Are you high?
I don't do drugs. And then an hour later, 12 o'clock, you automatically tie it back in again, and it all makes sense.
How many hours a night are you sleeping now?
A couple.
Just a couple? Because didn't the last time we talked, had you gone like 8 days in a row with no sleep or something?
Yeah, I've got my bouts. But it's more about now being productive and not sleeping instead of just doing nothing but not sleeping, you know?
So how is the format change working out for you?
Oh, great, man. I get to play. You know, I thought I'd be more relatable now.
So you are happy.
Yeah, because I really...
Well, I win the bet.
How
long does the bet go to?
The bet is till October 27th of this year.
Oh, God.
Because got the gig. Was last October 27th.
And I said it would be a year?
Yes, you said he would last a year.
I thought he'd be happy in Spokane.
I am happy in Spokane.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Then if you're happy... Why did you call me in a semi-distressed state on Sunday night?
Well, you know, the format changed, and, you know, I just got a little nervous. But it's sort of a good thing because I could stay if I really apply myself to the format.
Apply myself well?
Well, see, the guys, they were actually talking, like, changing my personality completely. Like saying, well, first of all, I can't do any more parodies or songs or anything. But that's okay.
That's probably good.
That here, I didn't do it in Chicago or anywhere else. It just said it was a great creative outlet.
Mm-hmm. How many records an hour do you have to play?
I never even thought about that before. I think maybe about 6, 7.
Oh, so you're talking.
Yeah. See, I don't know why it's like this, but, you know, I'm much tighter and brighter in, like, bigger markets. And here, you know, when they allow you the freedom to be creative, you know, it's not like intentionally taking advantage, you know what I'm talking about, but you're a little more relaxed, which can actually be a little sloppy sometimes.
How is your wife?
Joni's good.
And the baby's doing well?
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, after 18 moves, did I finally beat you on that?
Yes, yes. You've moved more than I have in my radio career. Congratulations.
But, no, that's the thing, though. Why was I always bragging that up?
Because, I don't know. I don't know why.
Anyway, you guys got to help me with the whole rep out there, the reputation.
No, listen, that's the other thing. That's the other thing you said to me on Sunday night. You said that you had been talking to that douchebag, Joel Denver, and that Joel Denver said that your wife is going to get a bad reputation because of this.
Well, see, he said that she has one.
She's going to get a bad reputation.
I'm a liability.
How can your wife possibly have a reputation in the radio business? Nobody knows who your wife is.
I know. Well, that's because he always uses your family as an excuse for moving. That's the PC way of saying that you want to split. You know what I'm talking about, right? The stations even encourage that. In other words, a great way to write it up in your release or whatever when you're about to leave a workplace is personal reasons or family reasons. Well, after a while, and you're using that a few times, it sticks, you know, but they probably thought that Joan, my wife, was always encouraging me to move because I would always go in there and say...
But I would think that anybody who was going to interview you for a prospective disc jockey job, once they met you, I would think they would figure out where the tendency to move comes from.
Yeah, see, but that's... I got to...
I'm trying to say that as nicely as I possibly can.
Nice.
That, you know, if you sat down for a meeting with George and he was sitting there with no shirt on and an Indian thing in his hair and he started playing the banjo, you know, you might say, you know what?
You might say, this is the restless one right here.
This guy's a little unbalanced.
Yeah, well, actually.
And restless, I think, is the nice word for it.
You know, but it really caught up with me here because I guess in the bigger markets, they really don't judge you like that, but here where it's so one-on-one and personal and in a smaller market, I'm banned from basically using the vans, yet I've never gotten a ticket in the 20 years I've been driving.
You're banned from using your radio station van?
Yeah.
Why do you need to use the radio station van?
Just because I have no car.
You don't have a car?
No, I spray-painted it with this personality's name on it from a TV station, and I went out in front of the station with Hunter garb on with an orange face mask and shades, and I started fly-fishing on the roof of my car saying, Q6, where's your spirit? Hire Mark Peterson back.
Why? Whoa, slow down. You went into a TV station?
Yeah.
Why?
I was being encouraged to get out and promote, and I just spontaneously came up with this idea. I thought I'd be a team player, and then...
To paint a weatherman's name on your car?
All over the car.
All over the car.
Because you liked this particular weatherman.
I didn't know the weatherman at the time. Now I do, but I didn't.
You liked his
wait,
work?
Wait a minute. You didn't even know him?
Did you like his work?
I've never seen him before.
Wait. You had never seen this TV weatherman before, yet you went to the TV station, painted his name all over your car, put on hunting garb, and then was fly fishing off your... You were fly fishing off your car.
Yeah. They,
why?
No, on the roof of my car.
Why?
With an orange face, full face mask on.
Why?
Because publicity, like my boss says, negative, positive, it doesn't matter, just as long as we can be recognized.
So a weatherman had been fired and you just wanted to make a splash, and so you picked this as an issue.
Right, and however, I had no idea that they were going to go on a 24-hour emergency police lockdown, and the next day in the parade, apparently they were wearing bulletproof vests, all of the personalities there.
What parade?
I guess at the time, maybe a New Year's parade?
I have no idea what he's talking about.
Well, why do you need the station van, though? Because you can still drive your car even if you painted this dopey weatherman's name on it.
No, it's kind of a marked car now. You know, it's a great way of getting instantly pulled over. You know, because the cops came and it was a scene. Pretty cool. I mean, actually, they were very nice to me. Actually, they...
So why can't you just drive the car? Why don't you just get a can of spray paint and spray over the guy's name?
I did, but I don't know what kind of paint I might have used, but it bleeds.
Does your wife have a car?
No.
So your only vehicle in your family is the spray-painted one.
Yeah, I'm living the whole small market thing. Money is tight, and so I'm just trying to get by. That's why I did actually hunt all winter long. It was pretty cool. You know how you can adapt like that and become like a chameleon and just change.
I thought you said you can't kill anything.
You do what you have to do
to feed your family.
You know what, guys? It's funny because I love you. I mean, I think you guys are great and talented, but I wonder if you forget yourself sometimes about the oppression that you used to go through, which bred the strength. I mean, you guys got it going pretty good right now, don't you?
George, I don't think that I ever forget how hard I had to work to get here.
Mike?
I've totally forgotten.
he sure has.
But I will tell you this, and I went through my share of tough times and living paycheck to paycheck and being broke. I never once had to kill animals to feed my family or paint a weatherman's name on my car.
It's pretty strange, I tell you. I
never had to do that.
Pain.
I remember buying a house that was worth just about $50,000, and it was my hand was shaking when I signed the contract because I didn't think I was making enough money to make the mortgage payment.
And George, I would just like to point out, like I've told you a thousand times for the record, that if you weren't so goddamn flighty, you could be in a major market, making big money, playing records, or doing whatever format you wanted to do. It's that you're so kooky.
Okay, but now let me explain, because this is getting real, and you got to realize that there's many, many people listening, and so I can't let that lie that way. You got to remember something. I moved my biggest move I've ever made in the craziest one in a way to certain people, the way they perceive it, is in D.C. Great money, mornings. In other words, an opportunity that I could have just taken and stayed there forever ended up making, by now, four years later, I could have been making a great, fantastic money and lived in a mansion.
Yeah.
But I saved my family, saved my marriage by moving, and so I think it might have been the right call. You told me it was.
I think, you got to do what you got to do. Whatever you do is what's right for you.
Right. And so basically you're saying that if they take away like parodies and things that I enjoy doing, that I should just do them anyway. That's your old philosophy, right, Don?
Well, now, see, George, now here you go again. Now you're going to...
Now you're going to tell him, yes, that is my philosophy. He's going to lose this
job.
Yeah,
you're going to do it, and then you're going to get fired. George, you should just be true to yourself. That's what I've always told you when you're doing a radio show. Just be true to yourself.
Do whatever makes you happy.
Just go in and do what you feel good doing.
Well, you know what would make me happy.
Oh, you know, but if I was you, I wouldn't sing those dopey songs.
Well, I just said I wasn't prepared.
I don't know what would make you happy. What would make you happy, George?
Don knows.
Well, what is this?
Yeah, what would make him happy is your job.
No.
Well, I've known that for ever since. That's why I know the whole deal, guys.
Mike, you know I would never
I've
do
known
that.
Him for, I've known him for 10 years.
Impressions, and I love your
but you also know it ain't ever happening.
I know.
Okay?
I know.
Please.
Well, maybe it can someday, George.
No, it can.
Maybe it can.
No, it can.
I can't do this forever, George, and you're a younger
neither
man.
Neither can I.
You're a younger man. And I think Don would someday like to work with you, George.
Listen, you know what you are being now? You're being cruel now.
No, you're being cruel to me.
You're being cruel to him.
No, I'm not. I think you really love this guy.
Not enough to work with him every day. I've told him that. I've told you that.
I listen to your show as a complete listener, not even somebody in the business, and I think it's so fantastic. And you guys know I think that. But how can you make fantastic even better?
George,
I think,
George, listen, I've told you this before.
I just think that there's a void for it.
George, can I say something? I tell you. You take it up with Don, like if you'd like my job someday, but I'll be honest with you. Having you come in and work with both of us,
I think that's what he's leading up to.
George, that's just, that could not possibly work.
Well, I see two guys with families and very intelligent, very funny, but then you got somebody with a little bit of an offbeat.
No, all right. Now, I'll give him credit.
I hate it
when this happens. This is a new tack, though. Mm-hmm. Now he's trying to sell himself as, the Donna, Mike, and George show.
Yeah.
George, no, listen. I got a great chemistry with Mike.
I know you.
Two best friends talking to each other every day on the radio. And then on top of that, we got Buzz. And on top of that, we got Rob.
That's right.
And on top of that, we got Charlie.
I know, but guys, you...
It's full.
Buzz is the voice of...
But George, I'll be honest with you. If an equitable financial situation could be achieved, you can take it up with Don.
Well, I got to tell you, the future is unwritten, and I have been called, and this is what they label me as, my consultants and everything. I'm a high creative.
Your consultants? Like
a high creative.
Who tells you this? Who are your consultants?
His name is Rich. He's out of San Diego, and he calls me a high creative. In other words, he doesn't kind of get me... And so he looks at me, and then he analyzes it, and then he says, okay. It's almost like that I am that of DOS, okay? When it comes up on your computer and it doesn't support it, it's coded.
Jesus.
Right?
All right, George, listen, we got to take a break. I'm glad to hear you're doing okay. Just remember, the program director, no matter what you think, he's really not your friend. Just do the most honest show you can and be true to yourself.
And the program director. I was talking about my general manager.
No matter what happens, there would not be a place for you on this show.
Oh. Well, I'll audition after the break, okay?
No, listen, I want to tell you something. God forbid Mike could be hit by a bus when he left the studio tonight.
Yeah, but George, seriously,
I would talk to an empty chair first.
One thing I am, George, is very territorial, and if that is why you pursue Don like this, stay the hell away from him.
I think he's very sexy, actually.
Okay.
But,
George, I do like George. I want to tell you, I want to go on record, and I say it today again, I want to go on record. I resent it.
Your new crush.
If you are trying to just constantly badger my partner for my job, because first of all, it's not his decision to make anyway.
You know what I think,
second of all, I resent that.
I think that he's not trying to get your job.
All right.
Think that he wants to be...
The third wheel?
Yes, the extra mic.
Well, we have a third wheel. He does news, and he's sitting over there, and his name is Buzz Burbank. Right. And Buzz hasn't said a word during this entire show.
Not a word.
Hi, Buzz. Hey, Buzz.
How you doing, man? All right, George, listen. Just be okay. Just do a show where you're true to yourself.
Should I take you guys out with song?
Sure. Go ahead.
I want to tell you something. When you do say that, though, you do get probably the longest period of commercially uninterrupted time that any human being has ever gotten on this show.
Go ahead.
Oh, I appreciate it very much. Okay. No, I won't do that again. Okay, here we go.
He is crazier this time than he's ever been, isn't he?
Really?
You don't think
like a
Don and Mike are true. Are you guys listening?
Oh, yes, we are.
Okay, that was a Stevie Wonder, Yester You, Yester Me, Yesterday.
All right, goodbye, George.
Don and Mike, Don and Mike, Don and Mike.
All right, bye.
I love the show. Oh, yes, you know, Don and Mike.
All right, that's it. That's George McFly, everywhere.
There he is.
Wow.
That's the latest on George.
That is the latest on George McFly. Twice a year, whether we like it or not.
Yeah, and you know, you're about right, because it was October, November, December, January, February, March, April. He's just a month late.
That's right.
Month late. Look for him again around Halloween on this show.
Man.
George McFly. He's out there.
He is.
Farther than ever, don't you think?
Yes, I do think he's out there farther than he's ever been before.
Well, he's in an interesting part of the country with tall trees and hunting.
Okay. Time out. Thank you, George. We will be right back.
Kiss it.
Yes, sir.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Let's dive into a few of these calls. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Well, that wasn't very nice. Well,
there's a guy just hung up on us. Let's see. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
How you doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
Good. I'm just calling from work today. I don't know how we got this fax, but it's an issue response form. I guess I want some input here. And the question that they ask is, should the Boy Scouts of America be forced to allow gays as scoutmasters?
Ah, the things that people concern themselves with in this country.
Jesus, you got that at work?
Yeah, and we're a pretty popular sporting goods store, and I don't know why they sent it here.
They who?
Let's see, who it is. It just says, issue response. New Jersey Supreme Court has ruled that Boy Scouts of America cannot ban gays from its membership. And then they ask the question and then fax the survey back. Can I say the number?
It's an anti-gay group.
Well, don't say the number.
Okay.
Don't say the number.
It doesn't really say, it doesn't have the name of the organization or anything on it.
So you just work at a sporting goods store, and you received an anonymous letter from a group asking, are they pro or anti gays and Boy Scouts?
It doesn't indicate. It just asks the question, and we're supposed to fax this back.
Should gay people be allowed as scoutmasters?
Yeah.
So, right, yes. And sign it, Ken Stevens.
Yes, me, Ken Stevens.
Sign it, yes, Ken Stevens, Vice President and General Manager of WNEW.
I want to be a Scoutmaster. I'm Ken Stevens.
Oh, wait a minute. Here we go. Guess where the number's from? Littleton, Colorado. Hotbed of gay scoutmasters and mass murder children.
Oh, is that what it says?
Okay. Yeah. See, I knew it was an agenda. I mean, anybody who would ask that question would have an agenda,
right?
Yeah, it just Littleton just says, call Digital Recall Incorporated, Littleton, Colorado.
All right, well, just fill it out, yes, and sign it, Ken Stevens.
Okay.
Thank you. All right, thanks.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you for the call. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Mr. Don.
Hello, buddy.
Mr. Mike.
Hello.
What's up, Buzz?
Hey.
Hey, I was driving through New York last Thursday, and I happened to turn on 92.7, WNEW up there.
Nope, WNEW is 102.7.
I'm sorry, what did I say? I apologize. Either way, I was listening to those guys. There's Anthony and Opie, whatever their names are.
Right.
And they happened to be talking a little bit of smack about you guys.
They were talking smack about us.
Not real bad. I don't want to blow it out of proportion, but they brought the fact that you guys were in the other studio while they were doing their show.
Well, I think we had actually, we were aware that they were doing that the day that we were up there.
Yeah, and they were, the one guy, I don't know who either, which one of they are, but the one guy was like, yeah, those guys are okay. And the other guy's like, I don't like them too much, you know, they're big shots from D.C. coming up here, and they want our job, they just want us to get fired because we're just small time. And
well, thus far, everything you've said is accurate. I mean, I don't hear anything that's not true thus far, so I have no problem with them saying that.
Okay, well, I just want
to... they said that. I think somebody had made us aware of that day. I mean, they were going back and forth. What they were doing was talking about the fact that we were in that studio, and they were dealing, and they're trying to be funny. That's what they do.
Listen, you know,
not very funny, though.
We would be threatened if there was another disc jockey team in the next room doing a show, and unlike most of the disc jockeys in this company, I'll tell you that I do like them, and I do think that they have a decent show, and we are coming up there with a peace offering to top their peace offering on Friday.
Yeah, a little reciprocity for Opie and Anthony.
I didn't catch their show on Friday, so I don't know what the peace offering was.
Well, see, they brought in, the first time we had a show there, they brought in some naked chicks, topless chicks, and some champagne.
Uh-huh. It's a very delicate balance when you've got two strong shows that are on one station, and they're in the same building at the same time, and that is why management was, had their panties in a royal wad, because they really thought that it was going to erupt in some kind of fist fight, but, they were very welcoming to us, and we're going to give
them
something.
Be the same way to them.
You're going to see something on, they're going to get something that they're going to enjoy.
Yeah.
Okay, guys.
Thank you, my friend.
Take it easy.
All right, see you later. Hello there, Frank.
Hey, I got a question for Mike.
Yes.
Hey, I was just wondering, does a Bloody Mary or a Virgin Bloody Mary come with a cherry?
No, sir.
Oh, see, now you...
It does not.
You know, you blew it by chuckling, though.
I'm sorry.
You blew
I didn't
it
mean to chuckle.
It was, no,
it was,
I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to Mike.
It was, I'm talking to somebody else. It was just an automatic reaction. Never heard that one before.
Hello. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yeah, probably had like an addendum to that joke.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, is this Don and Mike?
Yeah.
Hey, this is Damien.
Who is this?
Damien.
Damien. Hey, Damien.
What's up?
Damien Diction.
Hi, Damien.
Hi. I just think that y'all show in New York's going to be pretty cool. I think it's going to be a good idea.
Yes, it will be, Damien.
I'd love to have y'all here. It'd be a good show.
Are you calling from New York, Damien?
No.
Where are you calling from, Damien?
Maryland.
Maryland. That's where Damien lives, Mike, is in Maryland. Mm-hmm. Have you pushed your mommy off the stairs while riding your tricycle, Damien?
Badass motto, what a
wonderful.
That was Damien's well-executed prank call.
Hello. Not in my show. Creed probably has never even seen The Omen. Probably didn't even know what I was talking about.
Certainly hasn't read it.
Hello.
Hey, is this Rick from Spokane?
Yes, Rick.
Can you tell us what station McFly's on?
I have no idea.
You don't know what he's on.
You know, somebody said something to me in the hallway about him. Somebody said, that guy you just had on, is that Lewis's father? I can't think of no bigger insult than to be called Lewis's father.
Hi there, Dad. I love you, Dad.
Hello. Hello.
Hey, Don?
Bear, bear, bear. Hello, son. What?
Hey, Don, if you get consent from Frida, do you want to have sex with her?
Oh, come on. Somebody said that yesterday, please. The consent thing.
Yeah, it's, you know, it makes the rounds. I think it goes, like, on the, out on different fax machines.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi. Did you guys happen to watch The View today?
No.
No. You missed it today, Don?
Did you tape it?
I tape it. I'll give it to you later.
Well, guess which one of those little View bitches was going to pose for Playboy, maybe?
Oh, none of them. Well, first off, it couldn't be Big Fat Star Jones, and it couldn't be Joy Behar, and it certainly wouldn't be Barbara Walters, so it must be the Chinese girl.
Wrong. Meredith Vieira wants to pose in Playboy.
Well, that, I would, I'd look, I'd pick like that issue up. I really would. Not that she's super hottie, but I'd just be curious. It would be just curious.
She is a carpenter's dream. She is flat as a board and easy to screw.
Isn't she the one that talked about her husband having sex with her when she was asleep?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. We had
she's
a whole
the most
big
sexual
thing on her one day.
I think she's the most sexual of all the people.
Very naughty.
No,
yeah.
I think the Chinese girl's the most sexual. I just don't think she talks about it.
Do you
think
Barbara Walters is the most sexual.
Do you think she's the most sexual or the most sexy?
Both.
I think the Chinese girl is the sexiest. I think Meredith Vieira is the one that's just preoccupied with sex all the time.
I think the Chinese girl gets it all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
And guess who this is, guys?
Very sexed up.
Guess who this is? It's Nipple Guy. How you doing?
Oh, Nipple Guy.
I'm back. I haven't called for a long time.
You know what, Nipple Guy, your calls are perfectly acceptable.
Yes, they are.
As long as you don't go into that weird Nipple Guy thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, really, this is a very nice call. It was an interesting call. It was something we weren't aware of, and I enjoyed the call until you mentioned that you were the Nipple Guy.
I won't mention that ever again.
All right, good.
I'll be here, not as Nipple Guy.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, too.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
He was so dying to be obnoxious. Sure. He was trying to contain.
He made it all the way through the call without just screaming the word nipple.
Nipple guy.
Could not stop himself. Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
Buddy.
It seemed that Danny sounded awfully close to Sam Huff. Wonder what you thought.
You thought the Damien guy was Sam Huff? No way.
You didn't think he sounded like him a little bit?
No. You never know, you know, who's calling and when they have their different personas, but I don't think that one was accurate.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi. I feel like an idiot. I was the first caller, and it was a WPGC 95.
You saw an ad for what, honey?
Huh?
What are you saying?
Okay. I called, and it was... I said 95XXX, and it's not here. I was the first caller.
Is this the pregnant lady?
This is Tanya.
Tanya, the pregnant lady was playing with her nipples earlier.
Yeah. Oh, the nipple lady. Oh, hi, right. Hi, honey.
What?
I just said hi. You were just identified.
No, it's...
Hey, Tanya, there's really no need, especially when it's another radio station, there's absolutely no need for you to clarify that for us, because we didn't care the first time.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, if you want to talk about our radio show, I mean, that's fine, but yeah. I mean, we even have a rule, you know, no other radio stations mentioned on our show, please.
I didn't want you guys to think I was lying.
That's okay.
Okay, gotcha. No problem, Tanya.
Okay.
All right, bye, honey.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I love God and Mike show.
Hi, I just want to talk about earlier when George called.
Yes.
He said he had all this time on his computer, but yet he couldn't afford to feed his family. How do you afford the computer?
Yeah, listen, there are a lot of questions that remain unanswered about George.
Questions and contradictions, Don.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole thing about feeding his family saltines and oatmeal while having to go out and kill turkeys.
I think we could agree that George has a slight gift for exaggeration.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, what all creative people have.
Right. Yeah. Listen, you can't take him seriously, honey. I will tell you this, though, what I really said on the air, I really think. I think he is loonier now than he's ever been.
It's
I really do.
So. He has time to sit there to write Frida a 17-page letter, but he can't go out and get a minimum wage job to feed his family and his little baby. That's pretty sad.
Okay.
Don't worry about it. He'll be fine.
Yeah, he's fine. You know, as a matter of fact, he's probably lying about the whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, the most likely, you know, they are eating very well. They're living very well.
That's right.
You know, he's got to be making decent money there.
Of course.
That's true. I love you guys.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
What I didn't appreciate in his telephone call was when he started to lecture us a little bit.
About being big shots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a little bit of a lecture from George about that.
Mm-hmm. Now, so you have a relationship with George where George looks up to you. You kind of mentor him and he calls. George, I tolerate George. I sit here and tolerate George, and then it's always the same thing at the end where, you know what I really want, Mike? And I frankly, that pisses me off at a certain point. I shouldn't let it piss me off, but it does. And so I just sit there and just tolerate. I tolerate him. And when he's off the deep end, you know, there's sometimes in the past where he's amused me. There was today that it was we were listening to someone from an institution.
He was crazier than ever.
That's right.
And it's just, you couldn't appreciate it because he pissed you off.
He
and
pissed
me off. That he pissed you off.
Yeah, and you know, it's with the whole thing. You know, it just sometimes I can enjoy George, and then there are days like today when George is just, I'm sitting there going, oh my God, here we go. But we can both agree that he was more out there this time.
Yes, he was.
And when he's closer to being with it, when he's a little bit more in touch with reality, he's more entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
He's less entertaining when he's. When he's like talking about, there was so much there because it doesn't make sense if he framed that. I didn't understand what he was talking about.
You know, he lost me when he started talking about it. The question was, are you allowed to talk about your colon on the radio?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And then he went off into the whole thing about I can't feed my family and I had to kill this turkey and I sing songs.
But I guess through the whole thing he said he was happy, but he's not. He's not telling the truth there. He's never happy.
No,
never
will be.
Hello, Dennis.
Hey, Don, Mike.
Hi.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, a little comment about that little Chinese girl on The View.
I want to tell you something. She's hot.
Oh, wait.
She is so hot. Have you seen her in the Old Navy commercials?
Yes, yeah, she's beautiful. Beautiful woman.
She is really, really hot. I wonder if what they say about those chicks is true. You know what I mean.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean.
Well, they're cunning.
It's not true.
You know.
It's not true. I've seen plenty of films.
If it, like, is smiling.
No.
Instead of going up and down.
Old wives' tale.
Well, that's the story, that it goes
right
up and down.
Haven't you ever seen any kind of, with all of your viewing of DirecTV, you must have personal examples of the fact that that's not true.
I couldn't tell you that I've ever seen a Chinese or a Japanese chick in porno.
Really?
You know, I'm positive I have. God knows I've watched enough movies.
Yeah, you'll get some now. People will be sending you videos now.
And thank God that this Friday is Good Friday. No pun intended. I can finally start my porno habit again.
Bingo!
Right. I gave up porno for Lent, and it is killing me. Killing me. Every day I go past those channels.
So it'll be some sort of like late night Friday night movie marathon.
It'll be some kind of a release weekend.
Honey, shop all weekend.
That's all I can say. I'll be up early on Easter Sunday praying. Praying to my pants.
Pants that are walking across the room by themselves.
Yeah, Dennis, well, what about the chick from The View?
A couple of weeks ago, they were had this little questionnaire, and Meredith Vieira started it out. She goes, I want to know. She says, there's supposed to be, if you hold your hand up and your index finger is shorter than your ring finger, then you're gay.
We were talking about
even,
that.
Then you're straight. So they all held them up, and she goes, because the question's been going. She hadn't said whether she was straight or gay because the question came up, and the little Chinese girl said, well, you know, I'm really not sure. So then she held her hand up, and her index finger's about a quarter of an inch at least shorter than her ring finger.
And incidentally, that should be her regular name on the show, the little Chinese girl. I'm Barbara Walters. Here's Joy Behar, Star Jones, Meredith Vieira, and of course, the little L.I.L. The little Chinese girl. Here she is right here, little Chinese girl. Isn't she marvelous?
And she is right here, yeah.
Marvelous.
Well, the way I thought about it was Meredith Vieira was wanting to know so she could take her home with her. That's the way it was looking.
Yeah, I would say that there are many other scenarios that would be, less realistic.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on?
Turn your radio down, Art.
Oh, that's the problem. Your radio's up too loud. John. Hello, Johnny.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, did you guys see that news conference with Janet Reno this morning? She was shaking like she hadn't had a drink in a couple days. I don't know if she's got Parkinson's or what.
I believe she has Parkinson's.
She does have Parkinson's.
It would not be the lack of drink. It would be the disease that she has.
Yes.
That is why it was. That would be the reason, sir.
Oh, that's funny. You didn't know that?
No, not really.
Okay.
I think there'd probably be very few cabinet members that would be that badly in need of a drink that would shake for that reason.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, this is Derek again.
Yes, you're on the air. Last call.
Yeah, I'd like to tell you, remember you were talking about the priest? I'm the guy from the Navy. When they used to fly ship to ship, and they'd come on the on our ship. But
hold on, time out. Who is this?
Is this the guy that lost the job because he didn't want to work 12 hours?
Yeah, the great communicator.
No, we already had you on today.
No, you bad. No.
We already had you on.
No, go away.
Wait, is the whole show going to replay in 20 minutes? Am I going to call George McFly?
Go get your job at Home Depot.
Don and Mike.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
You're probably in on this one here. That guy you had on last week, Kuiper?
Mel Kuiper, yes.
Did you watch some of that draft selections this week?
Did you watch him? I know you were doing a draft day show on the radio. Did you get a look at Mel Kuiper?
Yes, I did.
James Wood looking.
Did you see those eyes? Man. I mean, it looked like he had fish hooks that were hanging out, you know, through his eyes, through the bottom of his eyelids the night before, because they were, I mean, he looked like
he is a creepy looking guy.
The funny thing about it is the battle of egos between him and that J.O., that ex quarterback, redskin guy.
Joe Theismann, who's gone gray.
Oh, mama!
Oh,
baby!
Oh, we walked into it.
Joe Theismann looked like his hair was different.
It's either falling out or he had it cut real short.
No, I think he's gone gray. I don't know if he ever colored his hair, but it looked like his hair was much grayer than it has been. You know, Joe always had like that dark brown hair.
Goofy, yeah. You know who has a gay haircut on ESPN? It's Mark Malone.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen Mark Malone's new gay haircut?
Yeah, Mark Malone, who just looks like very well coiffed.
First of all, the guy thinks he's Tom Selleck.
Yes,
I mean,
he does.
You know that from looking at him, that the guy thinks he's Tom Selleck.
You know, he's the kind of guy that rolls into the bar after the show. Hi, I'm Mark Malone, yeah. Played in the NFL, and now I'm on ESPN.
Yeah, the guy was a bench warmer for 10 years in the goddamn NFL. That qualifies him to be the host of an NFL show.
You ever see certain guys on TV that have that look that as soon as they get off, they go to some restaurant,
right.
And, you know, and it can be any
time
level.
To go to Poontown.
I see guys on the Weather Channel that you know just think that their S doesn't stink, sure. And they walk in. Yeah, you might have seen me giving the national weather forecast on the Weather Channel. Thank you very much. You know the guys I'm talking about.
Yeah,
There are two of them.
There's one guy on the Weather Channel.
He's bald. There's one guy that's bald.
The guy I'm thinking of is kind of fat.
Right.
And he always has too much eye makeup on. Like his eyelashes and stuff.
Right.
He gets too much makeup. And I see him looking at himself at the monitor when he's supposed to be looking at the map. It's like he's just checking himself out. I'm like, yeah, there I am.
Jim Cantore. He's got bad. I think he's let it go completely, but he's always kind of like he looks like he's one of these weightlifter
muscle
guys.
Guy, yeah.
That's the guy. That guy has bad like Barbie hair plugs. He truly does.
And then there's another guy that's on late at night, and that's the guy I think you're talking about. He's got kind of a big do.
Yeah.
And he's kind of soft spoken.
Yeah.
Right? Is that a guy who's kind of?
He is.
And I'm checking myself out in the monitor.
And you know both those guys. You know, they love, like, being out in a storm.
Sure.
And I'm positive that you're right. They go back to the Motel 6, and they go right to the bar, and they go, hey, yo.
Hi there.
You watch the Weather Channel much?
That's my TV truck right outside.
How you doing? I got a low pressure system in my pants.
Exactly.
How you doing?
Yeah, you might have seen my super tower and TV truck right out in the parking lot. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Jim Cantore. Remember the blizzard of 96? I was there.
Jim Cantore was on Monday Night Football, wasn't he? He was actually giving the weather. They said we're going to welcome giving kind of regular weather forecast.
I think
that's
on Fox NFL Sunday.
Mike Fox.
I think it was on the Fox show.
You're absolutely right. That's what it is.
Your other son, George, is back on line 4.
Oh, what does he want?
He just wants to talk to you a little bit about, you don't know how big you are.
All right, listen, George, this is probably not a wise move.
Mike?
What?
John?
Yes.
Hey, Mike?
What?
I will spend my whole life through respecting you. I am sorry, pal. I didn't know you felt that way.
Well, now you do.
And now I do.
Okay. Good.
All right, George, we got to go do some news.
Bye, George.
Mike, I'm thinking about you. Don, I mentor you.
Right. Bye, George.
Bye-bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
All right.
That's good. I'm glad we had that exchange.
Buzz,
now
yes.
It's official.
What is your lead story on the news and the comments tonight?
Canadian Mounties arrest a cyber terrorist with acne.
Yes, you know what? I heard about this, though. I want to discuss this. The prick that hacked all those sites?
Yeah.
Remember we thought it was a little kid?
Well, they found him?
Yeah, it was a little kid.
Really?
Well, that's the story. I'm getting ahead of it. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments.
News and comments. Coming up.
On the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very...
I'm weird professional.
This is... Yo. Don and Mike.
Right, Jesus, we are running late. Let's go right to Guy Birdley. Hello, Guy.
Hi, Don and Mike. Well, of course, you remember the website attacks on CNN, Yahoo, eBay, and Amazon.com back in February.
Of course.
Well, they've arrested the guy they think's responsible, and he is a 15-year-old boy from Canada.
Wow.
Who used the screen name Mafia Boy.
I think when this all happened, we had a discussion. We were pretty sure it was some little prick somewhere. The only thing we were wrong about is that we're not on in Canada, right?
No, we're not.
So the little prick wasn't listening to our show while he was doing it.
He might have been able to get the show from Rochester, from our affiliate up in Rochester.
Sure.
I met a Canadian guy that actually had heard our show from Rochester.
Maybe there's a chance.
There might be a chance.
Tell me there's a chance.
That we might have influenced that young lad.
Canadian Mounted Police.
That's right.
Made the arrest.
Yes, sir, email. I'm going to hack all the computer systems.
You know, Buzz does. Dudley Do-Right. Or at least he thinks he does.
He does a good one, doesn't he?
Buzz?
He's I, Dudley Do-Right, to the Mounties.
Ladies and gentlemen, Buzz Burbank.
KLB.
I'll be here all week.
Every time you do that, I picture you in that outfit. A Mountie outfit.
I have one of those.
This guy, this kid, and his cohort supposedly used computers around the world to flood these websites with so much data no one else could get in. U.S. Attorney General Janet Reno couldn't be more pleased with the arrest made in Canada. And here's tape of
Attorney General. Hold on. Just set it up again. I'm sorry.
Janet Reno, very pleased about being able to trace back to the hacker.
So what? We both have vaginas. So what?
Very emotional. She's very excited.
Really? Is that what she said?
There's Janet Reno.
Janet Reno.
Hold on. We're getting the tape.
We're getting it for you right now, Buzz.
Did you give it to Rob?
Yes, I did.
What is it labeled?
It's labeled Reno.
All right.
They're scrambling.
I believe this recent breakthrough demonstrates our capacity to track down those who would abuse this remarkable new technology and track them down wherever they may be.
So what? We both have vaginas. So what?
Janet Reno.
Very adamant.
Janet Reno and Assistant Attorney General Leah Remini.
The Supreme Court has agreed to consider whether the Miranda warning is as outdated as the TV show Dragnet. In 1966, the Supreme Court ruled that the Constitution requires police to tell suspects they have a right to remain silent. A couple of current Supreme Court justices have already questioned whether that ruling is still valid. Football great Emmett Smith is getting married this weekend.
Oh, you know what that means? That means when you turn on the sports on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Is he getting married Saturday?
Saturday, yes.
All right, I guarantee, wherever you live, the sportscaster will say this in the tease. Emmett Smith picked up another ring today to go with his Super Bowl rings.
Right.
That story, what action, eyewitness, crap your pants news continues.
Coming right out of the mouth of Bob Lee.
Yes, and then they'll come back and they'll have the shot of him and old Yellow Teeth will be there. And Aikman will be there.
It is a happy day for Emmett. We are very pleased in the Cowboy organization that he has chosen to marry this lovely lady and make this step in his life. I'm very, very happy, and how about them Cowboys?
Thank you, Yellow Teeth.
You're welcome.
I drove past old Yellow Teeth's house when I was in Dallas this spring for vacation.
You went past Jerry Jones' house?
A huge mansion, yes. Very nice property.
Oh, jeepers creepers, Buzz. I'm sorry I didn't invite you in for a cocktail. We got a whole tray of cigarettes.
I would have loved to have visited you.
Oh, now, y'all come down. Cowboy country. Cowboy country. Congratulations, Emmett. You take a long honeymoon.
The Dallas Morning News says the Cowboys star running back will marry actress Patricia Southall Lawrence on Saturday.
Oh, he's not marrying Jay Novacek?
No, not this time.
My source was incorrect.
Now, the rumor about the love relationship between Emmett and Jay has been greatly exaggerated. They are close teammates, Cowboys.
Emmett and Patricia got engaged last May. She's a former Miss Virginia and has a daughter with her previous husband, comedian Martin Lawrence.
Oh, we are not going to welcome Martin Lawrence into the Cowboy organization. He did not have a good time in the 40, and we will not welcome him to our Cowboy fraternity.
And with a side bit that Martin Lawrence shows up drunk or high or having a panic attack at Emmett Smith's wedding to his ex-wife?
The gun.
The Pentagon said yesterday it has no space aliens at the secret airbase in Nevada known as Area 51.
Sure they don't.
The subject came up again because this week some photos of the base taken by Russian satellites turned up on a website. The website crashed because so many people tried to view it at once. Mostly the pictures just show buildings and some kind of aircraft covered with what appears to be a tarp.
Now, there are aliens on this planet, Buzz.
Really?
There are aliens.
Hi there. Attention, students. Hi, this is Surf from WJFK, wishing Frederick Douglass High School class of 1993 congratulations and have a wonderful, wonderful grad night.
He was born.
He's from the planet Clog.
They seem friendly.
You can identify all of them by their orange fingers.
Reporters
they constantly eat carrots.
And they wear clogs.
Really?
With suits.
Interesting.
With like Armani suits, they wear clogs.
And they behave much younger than they really are.
Hi there. Attention, students. Hi, this is Surf.
Reporters wanted to know if these photographs taken from above revealed any state secrets. The Pentagon said no, because it keeps track of everything overhead, including satellites. As for the aliens, the Pentagon spokesman said, and I quote, "I think I can say beyond a shadow of a doubt that we have no classified program that relies on aliens from outer space."
And one more thing about these aliens.
Hi there. Attention, students. Hi, this is Surf from WJFK.
Right. Yes. Didn't they get used and disposed of by their ex-wives? When they found with their usefulness.
That's very sad.
Some of them actually live in churches.
They get thrown away.
Very sad.
And instead of living in spacecrafts, Buzz, they live in houses that have gigantic, huge, custom-made record racks.
Well, that's cool.
So you could hold like 8,000 record albums.
And they drive very old classic sports cars.
Huh.
And for some reason, they're all infatuated with Bruce Springsteen.
Hi there. Attention, students. Hi, this is Surf.
Okay, it's time for the phone tapping. Touch toes. Caller 100 times.
Know your aliens, ladies and gentlemen.
Prize package selected especially for you. Shot at Renter Mortgage lies straight ahead. Call Toya right now or call Lisa. They're both here at 1-877-365-3636. And Buzz will come right back to you after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
That'd be crazy. Caller 100 times. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Is it me?
Right. Why do people say that when we pick up the phone? Why do people say, is this me?
Because they should know that it's them. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're saying, is it me, as if they don't exist unless you verify it for them.
Yes, it's you.
Hot damn!
More logical question would be, am I the winner?
Right.
No, is it me?
Is it me does not make sense.
Is it me?
Yes, it's you.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. You know, we're just pondering the big question today.
The big questions of life.
Ponderous, man.
My brothers.
Effing ponderous. What's your name?
Ken.
Where are you from, Ken?
Sacramento.
Caller number 100. And Ken, you have won dinner for two, plus two power cards to play games at Dave & Buster's. Dave & Buster's Power Dinner. Great food, great fun. But wait, there's more. You put yourself in the running now for our next big free money show next Friday when we pay lots of rents and lots of mortgages. We do it once a month. How much do you pay every month in rent or mortgage?
$853.59.
$853.59 to the penny. Love to pay that for you. Thank you, my friend. Make sure you're with us next Friday, okay?
Fantastic. I will.
All right. Thank you for listening. It's Sacramento on KHTK.
All right.
Home of the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
Who will lose in the first round to the Lakers.
Really?
Yes, they will.
You believe so?
Yes, I think so.
Go Kings.
I think that Seattle's going to get the seventh spot, which means Sacramento will get the eighth spot. They will play the Lakers. They will go down in flames.
Well, that's a shame. I am an enormous Kings fan, as you know.
Well, as soon as they lose, I will align myself with the Los Angeles Lakers.
Los Angeles.
Right.
We may be close to seeing a tell-all book about Mariah Carey.
Oh, wait, I forgot. We're on in New York.
The New York Knickerbockers are my team.
Go, Knicks! Go, Knicks! Go! They have some stupid rap song, I know.
Mm-hmm.
Go, New York! Knicks! Go, New York! Knicks! Go, New York! Knicks! No! Go! Go, New York! Knicks! Go, New York! Knicks!
Go, New York! Knicks! Go, New York! Knicks!
Go, New York! Knicks! Go! They have, like, Knick girls or something like that.
That's great.
They're hot girls.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I think one of them, I remember reading the paper, was boning Patrick Ewing. Patrick Ewing.
They're allowed to have relations with the cheerleaders?
No, it was written like in the gossip columns and stuff. Patrick Ewing was boning one of the Knick girls.
I bet that's a big no-no.
Right.
You know, usually those teams, they, you know, like the Cowboys have the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. You're not supposed to, players are not supposed to fraternize. I know it's the same thing with the Redskinettes. Mark Rippon, somebody who broke that rule and ended up marrying a Redskinette.
Right. Mm-hmm. He didn't pull out. They had many children.
They had many kids.
When he went inside her, he went all the way in, and he stayed until he hit the wall. He did not pull out.
No, he didn't. That's where we're revisiting yesterday's sermon, which was the don't pull out.
Pull out unless you're married.
That's right.
If you're married, you know, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Go all the way to the wall.
The wall.
Let it stay there.
The wall. It coincides with the Pink Floyd release this week, too.
Yes.
Everything comes in, you know, goes in full circles.
Yes,
around
the show. Yes, the wall is finally out on CD.
Yes, many people at this station very excited about that. Seeing lots of the booklets and all that. Charlie Broyhill, I believe, going to buy his second copy because he didn't get the picture book with his first CD.
That's right, dude.
All right, Mom. There you go.
That's right, Mom. The wall's out on CD.
The wall.
We're having a wall party tonight at Chris Owens' house, Mom.
Chris Owens was telling me, man, great memories. I said, what do you mean memories? You didn't have any memories? Those memories were completely washed out of your brain.
I hate Pink Floyd. Jesus, I couldn't think of a band that sucks enough.
I have one good thing to say about Pink Floyd. It was terrific makeout music. It was
really
wonderful.
How could you make out to money?
I don't even know it. I'm not a big Pink Floyd fan.
No, Barry White is makeout music. That's makeout music.
What's the song that goes... It was Pink Floyd, and I used to always play it, and it was on the same album as Money. And I don't remember what it was. I know people are going to know what
it was. I don't know. I have no idea. Somebody calling will know. I have no friggin' idea.
Make out music.
It'll be money.
And if you really got a make out rat, put on Led Zeppelin 4. That's
Led Zeppelin 4, side 2.
Right.
Barry White is make out music.
Barry White.
That's make out music.
Oh, baby.
I think we have your answer.
Here we go.
All right,
let's go to the phone. Hello?
I think you're talking about the great gig in the sky on Dark Side of the Moon.
That would be Wendell Hall.
Wendell Hall.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Thank you, Wendell.
Certainly.
You, too, a Pink Floyd fan.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And apparently that tune is one of the most requested tunes in Netherlands whorehouses.
There you go.
All right,
serious makeout music.
Thanks, Wendell.
Sure thing.
Have you gone out to buy your copy yet, Wendell?
My copy? We're out through... Oh, The Wall, yeah, okay.
The Wall's on CD today.
No, I haven't run out and bought that yet. I thought you were talking about Dark Side of the Moon. I've worn out 3 LPs and 2 CDs so far.
Wow.
Okay.
That's heavy duty, Wendell.
Yeah. Thank you.
See ya.
Bye, Wendell. Bye.
Another side of Wendell right there. He likes the Pink Floyd.
He got confused there when you asked him what he was going out to buy because you were going to ask him if... he thought you were going to ask him if he was going out to buy another gun. And the answer to that, of course, would be yes.
Every day.
Every day.
Add to the arsenal.
Wednesday, must buy gun. Thursday, must buy gun.
Wendell could have his own range.
Buzz?
Yes.
You're doing the news here, aren't you?
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
We may be close to seeing a tell-all book about Mariah Carey. The book comes from Mariah's sister, Allison, who says, and I quote, "Mariah tells the world about 5% of the truth about herself. This book contains the other 95%.
Yo.
Among other things, Allison claims she worked as a prostitute to pay the bills at the start of Mariah's career. In fact, Allison says Mariah went to her big break audition in an outfit and a limo, paid for by hooking.
Yo, yeah, my sister's a whore.
Mariah, how do you feel about these allegations that you were a hooker?
F-U-F ball.
No, her sister.
sister's a whore.
Oh, her sister was a prostitute?
Her sister says she financed the start of Mariah's career.
I apologize, Mariah. I didn't mean anything by it. I thought that the...
I ain't no freaking whore. I'm Mariah Carey.
Well, your sister, was she a prostitute, Mariah?
Yes, gigantic whore.
And you don't have a problem with that?
Oral, anal, animals.
How much did she cost, Mariah?
Movies, a dollar.
Really?
She blow you for a dollar. You can have a dookie for 50 cents. Dookie for 50.
She stayed pretty busy just getting that limo. Mariah. Oh, it's a tough lady, that Mariah.
She's a whore.
Well, your sister?
Yes.
A whore?
Now,
listen to the response from Mariah's people.
Quote, Mariah has financially supported her older sister since she made her first album. She continues to financially support her sister's children. Any illicit activities her sister engaged in were for her own means. This is a woman who's been in and out of rehab, also paid for by Mariah. We don't even know if a book exists. End quote.
Well, if you're taking care of her, Mariah, why would she be writing a book about you? I don't understand that.
Because she's a whore.
Ah, she's a whore. Yes, we established.
She's a whore because you can go in a dookie for 50 cents.
How come they never photographed the left side of your face, Mariah?
Hey, F you, F ball.
She's very sensitive.
Right side only.
Right side only.
And Mariah Carey. You see, I'm a beautiful woman, but when I talk, I blow it.
When you talk?
Well, that's when you realize that this is really the way that I am. F-U-F ball.
F-U-F ball. More today from the book on John Lennon we told you about yesterday. In that book, Jeffrey Giuliani also says Lennon beat both his wife and son in the 1970s. It says he was an unhappy man who at one point wanted to lose weight so badly he became bulimic.
Well, now let me just say
okay.
that on the beating of his son,
mm-hmm.
you know, may he eternally be roasted in hell.
Right.
But for the beating of his wife,
I mean, you know, not that we could ever justify that, but people might, if they heard something, they might understand what may drive somebody to that type of thing. Not that we're justifying or saying it was the right thing
no,
to
there's
do.
No, justification.
But there would be some people that might be able to understand it if they understood what he was listening to. Every day.
What was his wife's name?
I believe her name was Yoko.
Are you telling me you could be sitting in a room? You could get goddamn Gandhi, the biggest pacifist in the world, or Deepak Chopra.
Sure.
You get one of those love gurus in a room listening to this for 30 minutes.
They might even snap.
You tell me if those guys wouldn't smack this girl.
Right about this moment in the song.
Now, at this point, Gandhi's getting up. He's uncrossing his legs. He is still praying. He still has his hands folded together.
He's doing the very best he can to control himself.
Now he's praying for her soul.
The man of peace.
Because Yoko Ono is married to Gandhi.
Very peaceful man.
But he's not going to be able to contain himself.
Oh, no. What's he doing?
Gandhi's beating Yoko Ono.
Getting physically violent with Yoko. Mahatma Gandhi.
What?
I didn't even know he was packing a gun in his little loincloth there.
Gandhi. You see what you made him do, Yoko?
Yeah, now he's sitting back down and he's... He looks like he's meditating again.
He's crossed his legs
sure.
again.
Everything's right.
He's lighting his incense. Do you see what you made him do, Yoko? Do you see what you made him do?
The book also says Lennon had a sexual encounter with his mother when he was 15 years old.
Again, what's wrong with that?
And,
me mum.
And had sexual fantasies about Barbara Walters later in life.
All right, now that he should be jailed for.
That's for sure. The book's full of reckless, untruthful statements, according to a spokesman for The Widow. Mary Kay Letourneau.
The widow Lennon.
Mary Kay Letourneau, the Seattle school teacher doing time for child rape, can legally profit from selling her story for books, movies, and interviews. The 38-year-old teacher is reportedly working on an autobiography that includes her relationship with a student. She was a mother of four at the time. The boy was 12. Eventually, that boy fathered two more children for her. When Letourneau was first sentenced to 7.5 years behind bars, the court ruled she could not sell her story. Now, an appeals court says she can.
All right, Buzz, one more and we must do another break.
Effeminate movie critic Rex Reed won't get that shoplifting incident on his permanent record so long as he stays out of trouble.
Why did you call him effeminate?
Well, because he is and everyone knows it.
Oh, look at this CD. I'm going to take that home with me. in you go, into the jacket pocket you go.
If I get caught, I'm just going to say I had a senior moment.
Absolutely.
Forgive me, Lord.
The 61-year-old Reed says he wasn't trying to steal anything. He just says he had a senior moment and put the CDs in his pocket without thinking.
Talk to my attorney, Mr. Bob Skin.
The criminal court in Manhattan yesterday ruled that Reed's case would probably be dismissed if he doesn't shoplift for at least 6 months. He was arrested in February for pocketing CDs at the Tower Records in Lincoln Center.
See you Friday.
Thank you, Mr. Skin. You're a great man.
You're welcome. I hope if you enjoyed the painting.
Buzz, time out.
All right.
Time out. We will be right back.
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll free, at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Now what brings you here?
I heard about your trouble with Batu. Thought I'd come to lend a hand.
Thank you, my son.
He's fought you. He's my own student.
The five city monks, they've all been killed. It was Batu and his gang.
Where's Batu now?
Well, I'm not really sure. What'll we do?
As for Batu, deal with him as you think fit.
They're extra smart because they've got extra brain juice.
Right.
Don and Mike.
Third, Tony Perkins, the weatherman of Good Morning America. Tomorrow when we're up in New York for our weekly visit, Tony's coming by.
You going to drop by the show?
Yeah, and we're going to get him to tell us how he hates standing out of the people with the great unwashed every morning.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough job. I would think no matter how nice a person you are, at a certain point that would get to you.
We'll pull it out of him. That's on tomorrow's episode, live from NEW in New York. Also, tomorrow, the nude feud with various people from the street in New York.
The nude feud!
Yep, that's all on tomorrow's episode. Now, yesterday, we waited all day for this kid from England to call us.
Right.
And as it turns out, he never called.
Right.
So we're just going to try to call him now. Let me just briefly tell you what the story is. They come up with these boy bands all over the goddamn place.
Right.
And they got this boy band from Chatham, England.
They're kind of a formula band.
Yes. They are a clone, actually, of an Irish boy band.
Mm-hmm.
The original Irish boy band is called Westlife. This ripoff band is called West Live. Okay, so there's a V instead of an F.
Kind of a British version of NSYNC, is that what it is?
Yeah, or Backstreet Boys, or O-Town, something like that. So Joey Wyatt is a 17-year-old boy who was in this group.
Hello.
And he was kicked out because the bandmates, his fellow, you know, musicians, objected to his nonstop talking on stage about sex and the 40 women he had banged in the previous year he'd been a member of this group.
So it was kind of a, they threw him out because his cohorts didn't dig him.
Right.
It wasn't like anybody was supervising him, but the other band members didn't like it. Could it be that they were jealous?
I don't know. You know, it's probably one of those image things.
I know, I've got me 40 hens. There you go, love.
Just like all those moms out there whose daughters like the Backstreet Boys.
Mm-hmm.
Really, you know, they never stop to think that the Backstreet Boys are men, right?
Aren't the Backstreet Boys like 30?
Yeah, and that they probably, they get tons of poon. Hi, this is the Don and Mike Show. Do you mind going on the air with us from America?
No problem.
We're looking for Joey Wyatt.
One moment, please.
Okay, we'll
one
talk.
Moment.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll talk to him now.
American radio station.
What's up with Joey? Joey America's on the phone.
Hey, Joey.
Put down your Yorkshire pudding and your boiled beef.
Joey.
Hello. Hey, go on. It's not a radio show from America.
Hello.
Joey Wyatt?
No, he's not here at the moment. Can I, can you phone back in 5?
In 5G, I don't know if I can. Is this his dad?
Yeah, this is right, yeah. He's around his girlfriend. I can get hold of him and get him back home if you want.
Hey, listen, no, we can just talk to you. This is Don and Mike. We're calling you from America.
Yeah, hello.
Your son was kicked out of the band Westlive?
Westlive, yeah.
Westlive.
Yeah.
He was kicked out because he banged 40 women?
No.
What was the story behind that, sir?
The real story?
Yeah.
He went for a makeover and have his hair done by the group hairdressers.
What? Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the manager of the band overheard him talking to the hairdresser. And being a young lad, he was just trying to chat the girls up and, you know.
So he was he bragging to a hairdresser that he was sexually experienced?
No, not really. He was just being a young guy, you know.
Well, what do you mean? I mean,
did he bang 40 women, if I could be so bold as to ask you?
Not that. He's only 17.
I know. Well, the story that I have says that your son boned 40 women. And that his bandmates were offended by the fact that he bragged about it.
Is that not true?
I don't believe he said anything about 40 women.
Mm. Has he,
I think what he said, he's had 40 girlfriends since he was 12.
Oh, he's had 40 girlfriends.
Yeah.
Is he sexually active?
I should think so. Yeah, now he should be, yeah.
Pardon me?
I should think he is now.
He is now. How old is he now?
He's getting on for 18 now.
But he's not 18 yet?
No, September.
Oh. In September. And he is sexually active now.
Yeah, I guess he must be.
You guess he must be because, wait, does he talk to you about it?
Well, he's got a regular girlfriend.
Oh, he's got a regular girlfriend. Hmm?
Yeah.
So you would say that your son has not had sex with 40 women?
No, I guess not.
Do you think he's had sex with 20 women?
I doubt it. He's been very sport active, so he's not had much time for women, really. Not seriously.
He's been very what?
Sporting, actively. He's been playing soccer.
Oh, he's been into sports.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have time, really, to spend a lot of time having sex with young women.
Do you think do you think he's had sex with 10 women?
No, about it. Probably five.
Probably five.
At 17.
Five at 17.
And that's okay with you, Dad?
Yeah.
I pray to God you tell him to pull out.
What's that?
You know, when he's having sex, he should pull out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you tell him to use protection?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah, sure.
You tell him to wear a condom?
Sure.
I want to tell you what the motto of this show is. We battle babies having babies.
That's the worst thing that can happen. We try to, tell our listenership not to do that.
So you should make sure you tell your son to pull out.
That's quite right.
Pull out before it's time for the captain to spit.
He liked that.
Mom, whereabouts in the States are you?
In the capital, Washington, D.C.
Nice one.
Is his mum around? Are you still happily married to his mum?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Oh, could we talk to her?
No, she's looking after my grandson tonight.
Oh, she's looking after your grandson?
Yeah.
It's not Wyatt that fathered the grandson, is it?
Yeah, Joey. Yeah, not Josie, though.
Not Joey.
Not Joey. No. So you have another son also?
No, daughter.
A daughter?
Elder daughter.
How old is your daughter?
21.
21.
How many guys do you think she's been with?
Two, seriously.
Two, seriously? Is she married?
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
But how many before she got serious, do you think? What do you think, 10, 15, 20?
No, two.
When your son was in this band, when he would come home at night, would you ever smell his fingers?
No.
Would you ever look for stains on his underpants?
No.
You don't check him out like that?
No.
And do you think he got a lot of girls when he was in the band?
He probably would have, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so the manager kicked him out of the band?
Yeah, the manager kicked him out because he didn't like the way he acted about the women in it.
He didn't like, the manager didn't like the way he acted around the women.
No.
How did he act around the women?
Oh, just chatting them up and that, you know. Did nothing. Just the way they are.
Chatting them up.
Chatting them up. Trying to pick them up?
No. He's got a regular girlfriend. He's not. He's a one girl at a time guy.
You know, I'm afraid I'm going to have to talk to your son because the story I have here says he boned 40 women. And if,
no.
And if your son was just chatting up women,
right?
Yeah. It doesn't make sense that he would be kicked out of the band. Did you say your son would be back in five ticks?
Well, I could have got him, yeah, but I can't get him now.
What do you mean? Where is he?
Huh? He's around his girlfriend's, and I was going out. I was trying to catch him before he was going out.
He ran out of the house, out of the flat?
No. No, his girlfriend lives around the corner, and he was going to pick her up to take her out tonight.
Isn't it like midnight there? What are you letting your kid go out at midnight for?
Huh? It's not midnight.
What time is it there?
It's just gone half past 10.
Half past 10?
Yeah.
And he's going out for the evening?
Yeah, they go out to a club, don't they?
So what time? He'll come home about 2, 3 in the morning?
Yeah, about 2 or 3, yeah.
Is he still in high school?
No, he's at work.
Is he at work? What's he do now?
He's doing kitchen tiling.
Kitchen tiling?
Yeah.
Is that what you do, sir?
No, sir. No, air conditioning, I do.
Is he a high school graduate?
No.
Is there a chance you could run in and get him at his girlfriend's for us if it's just around the corner?
He will be gone now. I know he will.
Oh, he will be gone.
Don't you think it's important that your son graduate high school?
Yeah, but he's not very academic, you see.
Oh, is he stupid?
No, he's not stupid, but...
Is he dumb?
He's definitely not dumb.
Is he slow?
No, definitely not slow.
Did you graduate high school?
Me, no.
No?
No.
How about his mum? Did his mum graduate?
She did, yeah.
Oh, she did. Okay, so there's somebody that's graduated.
he's not dumb, and he's not slow, and he's not stupid. How would you describe him academically?
academically, I'd say he was average, but he didn't see the point of things like algebra and all that sort of crap that you never use.
And then he got into the band. Will he ever? Do you think he'll ever sing again? Will he ever be in a band again?
Oh, yeah, he's auditioning again. Well, he's not auditioning. He's recording on Saturday.
He's recording. Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me for a prize what 9 times 9 is?
What?
Can you tell
81.
Me for...
81.
You got it.
Very nice.
No wonder if young Joe would be able to, you know, get that one quickly.
He probably wouldn't, not unless it was in dollars.
It was in dollars. Hey, Mike, there we go.
What is 1,000 divided by 10?
100.
100.
All right, you're 2 for 2.
100.
You're 2 for 2.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So this is a regular night, and I guess he's working, and is he living with you?
Yeah.
And you let him stay out till 3 o'clock?
Yeah, he's quite sensible.
He's got to work tomorrow, though.
No, he's not work tomorrow.
Oh, he's off.
Over the Easter holiday.
Do you watch Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Yeah, Chris Tarrant one, yeah.
Oh, can I tell you something about that show?
Yeah.
Your version sucks. You know, we stole that version from you. Our version kicks ass.
Your version's great, yeah.
Yeah, our version kicks ass.
Yeah, we're very proud. We're very proud of our... Hey, can I ask you one more question? What did you have for dinner this evening?
I had a Chinese tonight.
Oh, you're Chinese?
Chinese.
Ah. You didn't have anything boiled?
No.
Okay, that's a stereotype with the British, that you eat everything that's boiled.
Oh, I don't. I eat it.
You know, our millionaire show kicks your millionaire show ass. It really does. Our questions are so painfully easy that even your son, who appears to be borderline challenged, could probably win $30,000 to $40,000.
That's not so bad, is it?
And no.
Do you have a singing voice too, sir?
Me? I used to be in a semi-pro band for about 14 years, but, you know.
Did you ever hang out with the Beatles?
No, Christ, they're sort of 15 leagues above everybody else, weren't they?
Mm-hmm. Christ, could you sing your favorite Beatles song for us?
Me?
You may be sing anything.
I'll sing anything for you, what do you want?
How about Hey Jude?
Hey Jude, don't let me down, take a sad song and make it better. How about it?
He can say it.
Very nice. Do you forgive John for hitting Yoko?
She must have said something he couldn't understand.
Nobody forgives. Everybody understands John.
I don't forgive the guy that shot him.
Don't forgive that guy. And have you had anything to drink tonight?
No, sir.
Not a thing.
Very good.
No.
All right, well, you've been wonderful to talk to. Please tell Joey that we called. We're the Don and Mike Show.
Sure will.
We were supposed to have him on yesterday, but he must have been out laying some pipe or something, because he never called us yesterday.
You were very nice to answer all our questions.
No problem.
Do you like fat chicks?
I've never eaten a whole one.
Please, he's never eaten a whole one. He's never eaten a whole one.
Yes. Never eaten a whole one. There you go.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Hey, my name you go.
Thank you. Bye bye.
See ya.
Bye bye.
All right. The unflappable dad. He was all right.
Probably better to talk to him than talk to the kid.
You tried to get him there with the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire thing. He's just a happy-go-lucky guy. Well, I guess if his son's coming in at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, he doesn't care.
Christ, what a life. Don't worry about school.
That's right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go on, go out. Knock yourself out. Have a good time. Listen, I've been eating a big plate of Chinese food. You go out and knock the bottom out of that thing and come in about 3 or 4. But mind your manners, you got to get up at 6.
Don't forget, pull out.
That's right.
Hey, listen, that algebra, you never need that in the real world.
No, listen, if it's such a big problem, we should drop out. Go ahead, drop out.
Like me, you're dead.
That's right. Now, you got some tiles to pour in the kitchen tomorrow.
Time out.
That's right. Boil me.
We will be right back.
Hold on,
started that record too soon. Get a rejoiner here.
With their hearts full of love and their throats full of phlegm, Don and Mike.
That's right. Almost gave it away. It's time for another edition of Donnie's Record Bag.
Donnie, do you have some new records today?
Oh, do I?
I mentioned near the close of the last record. This record you are now playing is another example of the completion backward principle. If you can possibly manage the time, please play both sides at one meeting.
Okay, here we go. It's Donnie's Record Bag.
All right. Are there any celebrities that are featured?
I'm going to start with all celebrities.
Very good. I love this.
So let's roll this and see if you can name who this celebrity is inside Donnie's Record Bag.
I may have heard the ukulele a little bit there.
And I want to thank Jerry at the Record Mart. We're going to give him a nice plug later.
That's a good plug, though.
He supplies a lot of the records here.
Where have the wild blackberries gone?
That is Dennis Weaver.
That is correct.
That is an easy one.
That is right.
There is a
That's the very talented.
All right, that's right. So you got the first one, okay.
Very telling, my clown.
Now listen, no peeking.
All right, I'm out.
Okay?
I'm not looking.
You're not peeking, are you?
I'm not peeking, my cloud.
Okay.
My cloud.
Let me see. All right, Robbie. Let's go with this one.
These are they're good. You know they're good when they're real records.
They're actual records we're playing here. Now.
Real vinyl.
Okay.
Seems only yesterday that's what we were all using. All right, here we go.
Thank you, and up.
Very good. That's the old cue-up. That's what disc jockeys used to have to do, youngsters. That's what they used to have to do in the old days.
Are you ready?
Very much so.
Name it. What? Hold on. Buzz what?
Hi.
Hi. Did I turn your microphone off?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
Accidentally. I can tell you right now, it's really horrible.
Yes, it is. Mike.
I have no idea. I am trying, and I have no idea.
Buzz?
I'm stumped as well. Is there more than one cut on there?
Oh, sure.
Yes, and I'll give you a clue after I play a little more.
Okay, very good. Are we going to get another song now? Because I really have no earthly idea who
that
is.
There you go.
It's an artist that's being supported with plenty of background music.
Now, they're not all as old as this guy. Let me just give you that clue. Yeah. All the artists today.
I've lived my life in vain.
Is that Andy Griffith?
No.
Every dream.
I'm going to need a hint. I'm going to need
all
a
right.
hint.
Here's your hint. I could give you an obvious hint, and you would get it immediately.
Well, I'd rather
I'm
going to
give you, okay, an obscure hint.
An obscure hint would be preferred.
All right. Regis.
Joey Bishop.
That's right.
Joey Bishop. Wow.
He's horrible. That's awful.
It's really some of the worst singing I've ever heard.
Joey Bishop. That's Joey Bishop.
He did it like he did everything.
That's half-assed.
It was bad. Very bad. Joey Bishop.
All right, hold on.
Mediocre stand-up comedian, mediocre talk show host, bad singer.
I'm going to get you on this next one.
All right.
I don't know which side was the hit record.
I wouldn't have gotten Joey Bishop if he hadn't given me the hint.
All right.
There's Regis underling to Joey Bishop for years and years and years.
All right, here you go. Name this one.
Okay.
Hold on.
All right.
Oh, Christ.
I know. You got to go back there and run to the back of the studio and do the record.
This is obviously something from the modern era.
Okay, a little older. Yeah, this is mod.
Here we go.
Gary Coleman.
That is not Gary Coleman.
It's a child star, right?
Mm-hmm. Anybody got a guess?
Man, these are tough.
Buzz?
The toughest ever.
Buzz?
Yes.
Mike?
It's a child star. Can I have more?
You never get this. I'm just going to have to tell you.
Is it a child star?
At this point, yes.
Somebody who's still working?
Not much, thankfully.
From television?
Yes.
Oh, it has to be from TV.
Ricky Schroeder?
No. Give you one more guess, Mike.
All right. I wish I could get this one. Child star.
I'm not going to give you a hint on this
70s
one.
Child star. 70s
Time's
child
star. Time's up. Mike, it's Christy and Jimmy McNichol.
There they are, those beautiful kids.
The McNichol.
The McNichol brother and sister combo.
Who even knew that they had a record?
I love the McNichol siblings.
All right.
that's quality music too. That's they're going to go on tour with Joey Bishop. Of course, isn't Joey Bishop in a casket right now?
He's dead. Yes.
Okay.
Here's her next selection.
Is this another artist?
Yes. Who's this?
Happy birthday, Jesus.
Yes. That's not the singer, incidentally.
Okay.
Happy birthday, Jesus. Who is this?
Katie got a dolly that cries and blinks its eyes.
All right, it's an evangelist. It's a televangelist, and I'm going to say it's Oral Roberts.
No. Buzz.
Jimmy Swaggart.
No.
I'm going to say...
Jimmy got an
oil. I'll give you another guess in a minute.
That really flies.
Let me go right to the hook.
We were poor that Christmas present. Church bells ring along.
Your hook.
Is it Pat Boone?
No.
No.
Jim Baker?
No.
It's Mike Douglas.
No.
Gospel
music for Mike Douglas.
Yes. Happy birthday, Jesus.
It was somebody who had an ability. That's, of course, why I said the fabulous Pat Boone. Mike Douglas makes me moist every time I hear Mike Douglas.
All right, I'm going to go to the next one here.
Montel Leno.
Now, this is a child's record. This is a children's album.
Sung by an adult.
Well, I don't know if it's singing or speaking.
Okay, well, that's good. I like the speaking ones. They're easier to identify. I'm pretty much like one for five now. One for four.
These are tough.
All right. Slowly.
Hi, boys and...
Couldn't identify the McNichols.
Oh, you can get this right away.
Hi, boys and girls.
Okay, who is that?
That's Sally Struthers.
No, it's not. Buzz?
Oh, I don't know.
This is Tammy.
And this is Jim.
That's Jim and Tammy Baker.
There they are.
And this is Ellie.
She sounds
and
like
this is Mom.
Little Ricky when we play the Christmas
thing. Crumpy.
And we're all here today to tell you a story.
Damn. He even sounds slimy when you hear him on a record.
I didn't know they said their name.
Girls, this is Tammy.
And this is Jim.
And this is Slowly.
And this is Ellie.
And this is Muffin.
And this is Crumpy.
And we're all here today to tell you a story.
Get it all. Before we tell the story, I think we're...
Is that Tammy doing the character?
Yes.
First of all, we look like...
It's a story about how we're going to build a giant condominium in the Carolinas and never let anybody go there.
Man, that makes your flesh crawl listening to this.
Alligator with a big mouth.
Hey, help me tell the...
Uh-oh.
And as the waves became... But God had sent a mighty... Susie, would you stop ad-libbing?
Remember that she talked like that to Jim?
Off.
To make him horny?
Oh,
I'm sure.
Name, isn't it, Ellie?
Oh, I love that sound. Zebedee.
Tammy doing all the voices there. Jesus Christ. That's what they said.
I choose to build on fence.
That's scary. That is very, very scary. But they were, you know, people were just opening their wallets for those people.
Right, let me ask you, Rob, this guy... Yeah. Academy Award winner?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I thought so.
I should have gotten Tammy Faye Baker on the very first one.
All right, Academy Award winner coming up.
Oh, okay. Well, that's, that narrows it down quite a bit.
Blue.
All right. And it's on vinyl.
Yep. Let me cue it up.
Okay.
Hold on.
Sounds like it's got a country and western music flavor.
I don't know which cut I want. Give me a second.
All right. This is the sound of a disc jockey queuing up records, ladies and gentlemen. You don't get a chance to hear this very often.
Johnny Ringo.
As they heard him, say Ringo.
I'll go with this one.
I bet it's somebody, I'm going to predict before I even heard the artist, it's someone with a deep voice.
Yes.
Because this is that kind of music.
Who is this?
I'm the meanest guy.
Jack Palance.
Yeah.
Wow.
Thank you very much.
And others.
Yeah.
Jack Palance.
Ah, let's go.
Got some Egypt.
Let's not.
And I laugh when the buzzers die. I laugh.
Oh, Jack Palance. You're my number one guy. Palance
well,
on the zoo.
I grew up mean and I grew up tough and I fought more.
He was tough. He was tough the day he came into this studio.
You nailed that one fast.
Ah, Donna Mike, I crap bigging you.
Yeah.
There you are.
That's what he said.
Yeah. You boys. Let me do a one-arm push-up. Is another famous person?
Yeah, but you'll get this immediately.
Another person with a low voice.
Yeah, but you know what?
This one's not even tough. I just play it because I bet you didn't know he had a disco record out.
Maybe.
Serious disco record.
My love. William Shatner.
No.
hear what I said? You know, there's love.
You still don't know who it is?
No, because it's just that he's not speaking enough. He's not giving me enough to work with.
We've been together so many years.
Telly Savalas.
No!
We've known each other. We share each other's moments. Your eyes meet mine. We don't even have to say nothing.
I'm amazed you haven't gotten this one yet.
Just let time just roll through our fingers.
You're such a Svengali with this.
No, I
you
don't.
You really don't know?
I really don't know. I have no idea.
It's Cos.
That's Cosby?
Wow. Bill Cosby.
Well, that's because his voice is down like
your
that.
Eyes. That sounds nothing like Bill Cosby.
No. This is his album. Disco Bill.
Yeah, this is disco.
Well, see, you know what he was doing? He was trying to sound as unlike Bill Cosby as he could. It should have been,
your eyes like beautiful
what?
Pools. What you say?
That's Cos.
Now we go. Get down.
See, that's not, you know, it sucks.
You gotta eat it. Enjoy it.
Here's the Cos.
Of course, you love it.
You love it?
You got to have it.
No, yes, sir. Come on now, chicken.
Make Fat Albert spit.
Yes, sir. Make it spit for the captain.
But don't eat it.
Oh, that's nice.
You gotta eat it.
Eat it good.
To know it.
Roll it in flour.
You gotta eat it?
Yeah.
To love it.
Captain.
When you made the say.
Captain gonna spit. Tell you right now, wow. The captain gonna spit.
All right, you got the gist of it. Let me give you one more from the record back. All right, very good.
All right, one more.
Absolutely.
These are gems.
They are, you know, you'd never know who would. Well, the McNichols, I mean, I think that was one that was obvious, but
all right,
Jack Palance.
Let me give you a hint.
Okay.
This guy's so friggin' dead.
Somebody who's been dead a long time.
Very dead.
So dead.
Very, very dead.
All right, this guy's very dead.
It makes it tough.
I mean, this guy, there's nothing left. No bones, no skull, nothing.
Nothing could be finer than to be in Carolina.
Who is it?
Oh, God, it's such a distinctive voice. It's so famous. It's such a famous
person.
He is. Nothing could be finer than to be in Carolina.
Who is it?
Can you give me more?
Yes.
Please.
Here's a little more.
Could be sweeter than my sweetie when I meet her in the morning.
He doesn't sing nothing could be sweeter when I eat her. I think he said when I meet her.
When I meet her.
Morning.
Yeah.
The morning glories.
God, I know this voice. Everybody knows this voice.
Yes. Yes, you do.
I'm whispering pretty little stories that I love to hear once more. Strolling with my girlie when the dew's.
Oh, my God. Is it a comedian? Sort of a comic actor?
Yes.
Primarily character roles and comic roles.
Yeah.
Oh,
all right, I'll give you one more song, okay?
Ring in the morning.
Man, you know, certain songs, they just can't do it.
Yeah. Disappointing me.
I know. I'm definitely one for 1,000 on this one.
Morning. Right,
there you go. Yeah, let me go. Somebody like that talk like that all the time, and I can't. I wish I could figure it out. Somebody very, very dead.
Been dead a while.
Swanee River.
You got the song right.
Right.
Right in your wheelhouse. This is the type of music I could put this on goddamn cassette for you. Listen to this on the way home tonight.
Wait out upon the Swanee River.
Who is it?
It's not Bing Crosby.
No. No, it's not Buzz.
Phil Harris?
No.
No.
One last guess.
I don't have a clue.
It's Fred Mertz.
Fred Mertz. I never would have gotten that. I ain't wearing a villa. You called it, though, with the dead thing.
William Frawley.
Hated Ethel Mertz. Oh, this is a beautiful song. Listen to that orchestration.
Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Dynamite Show.
You're not. Not anymore.
Okay.
Let me see. That's all I have for you from Donnie's record bag, where you guess.
Yes.
Now we're going to move on to another part of the record bag.
Very good.
Where I will have some kooky novelty songs.
Excellent.
For you.
I'm looking forward to that.
Including a very special one for you, Buzz.
Yay.
Let me start, though, with a record that was put out by the Civil Defense Agency.
Okay. These are good.
The explanation of civil defense warning signals.
Very good.
Okay.
This is back in the days. Would this be back in the Cold War era?
Yes.
Where we were all fearing the commies?
Building bunkers.
For your survival, you must learn the warning signals and know what to do when they sound.
You gotta like this.
Jetty Blast.
For those announcers.
And Buzz, of
yes.
course. Well, you were there for all of this.
I was. In fact, I watched the recording of this.
Crucials over 640 or 1240 on your AM radio. They may tell you to evacuate or take shelter, depending on local conditions and warning time. Your job is to recognize the signal and know what to do when it sounds.
Heavy
the takeover signal is a 3-minute wailing tone or series of short blasts. When you hear it, take cover immediately in the best available shelter.
Best available shelter.
Until you're told it's safe to leave.
Thank you.
Remember, attack alert. Steady blast of 3 to 5 minutes means enemy bombers have been sighted and attack is probable but not immediate.
Enemy
in
bombers.
Other words, long signal, steady blast, means more time.
Yeah,
take
more
cover
time
signal,
live.
A wailing tone, or a series of short blasts, lasting 3 minutes.
You know, what they're really saying is, you know, you hear this one blast, kiss your ass goodbye.
It's over.
You know, the krauts have flown all the way to America. Where
do you think?
Yeah.
Is it the Germans or the Russians that we're dealing
with? You know,
with
I think you might be right. This might be around the time of the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Yeah, probably.
Russian.
That would mean that bombers have been sighted. Billy.
From Russia.
Get into your bunker, Danny.
And Danny. Kiss your ass goodbye.
Yes, a short signal, short time. Take cover immediately.
Immediately.
Learn your warning signals in case of war.
Warning.
Your life may depend on it.
Have a cigarette.
You will now hear the alert signal.
Okay. Oh, here we go. I've just heard the record. I wouldn't know which one this is. Is this the Russians are here?
This is the one where you have more time.
You have a little time now.
Frankenstein! Frankenstein!
Well, this is a great signal to tell everybody they've got lots of time. Just take your time.
Mm-hmm.
People wouldn't panic when hearing this.
I'd be making in my pants if I heard this in those days.
I'd make in my pants if I heard this today. And that's the one that says, chill out. We've got some time.
You will now hear the take cover signal.
Okay.
Okay.
Cover signal. This means the signals you have just heard are shortened versions of the real signal.
Really?
In the event of an actual emergency,
yes,
the alert signal would be 3 to 5 minutes.
3 to 5 minutes.
The take cover signal.
Mighty scary.
5 minutes.
Where's the real one? Where's the one that says they're coming?
That's the one that says they're coming. The first one was the one that said you had time. The second one was take cover.
Mm-hmm.
Take cover immediately.
Right.
The bombers have been sighted.
That's all we have?
And make sure when you're going to your bunker, you enjoy a copy
of your survival.
From the
you must
Talbot
learn
Bond
warning
company.
Signals and know what to do when they sound.
Yeah. All right.
A steady...
All right.
A steady signal. You didn't pay attention. You would have been leisurely walking to your bunker when the bombers arrived. There they are. They've been sighted.
One more on vinyl. This is way back in the day. When radio stations would get commercials that were printed on records.
I remember.
And of course you do, Buzz. And this is for a movie called The Swingin' Pussycats.
Oh, fantastic.
Okay.
Fantastic.
With more fun and more thrills.
There you go.
You're absolutely right, Buzz. Okay. The Swingin' Pussycats.
They're rich, they're beautiful, and now they're looking for some new kicks.
Well, that's too fast.
Three gorgeous sisters
and their governess, who are ready and willing to try it all in a new motion picture with a different twist.
A family that plays together is a very groovy family.
Don't miss the swing.
swinging pussycats. The amorous adventures of four sex kittens who decide to stray from pad to pad to pad to make life more terrific.
Pad to pad. Mom told us a man should get all he wants.
The swinging pussycats are the perfect household pets. Trained to purr and please. Just ask the man who's had one.
I can't believe that's the whole thing.
The movie with a whole lot of everything. The swinging pussycats in color from Hemisphere Pictures.
Hemisphere. And in color.
Oh, wow. The swinging pussycats.
Okay, time out. Let's do a break. I'll come back. A couple more for you right after this. I was just talking about your toy. Don't talk to me.
They love the smell of Markey in the morning. Don and Mike.
Don't ever just speak to me on that thing in my headphones for you. That drives me crazy.
Is she talking in your ear?
Yeah, well, Toya and I were just sharing a special Tom Gavin moment together.
By the way.
And I think that she thought I was continuing that now.
Right.
Which is mentioning earlier with the Jesse Helms day.
Hi, Toya.
I want to thank Jerry at the Record Mart. I want to give Jerry a plug here. They're in Old Town Alexandria in Virginia. And if you're looking for any records, I can find anything for you. 703-683-4583.
All right.
That is their phone number. Hello, Tom.
Hi,
hello. Hi, Tom.
Tom.
Hello, Aloysius. Hi. Gavin.
Hey, what's up there? It's the robot.
Tom, I understand that Toya was just talking to you about having sex with you.
No.
Yeah.
That was somebody else. I don't know who it was.
I wonder who it could have been.
Does it make you roar really loud?
What did the person say to you? But clean it up for the radio if it was really dirty.
Like, really dirty?
He doesn't understand.
What did the person say to you, Tom?
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 Tom.
They want to have, like, sex.
Who said that to you?
Charlie.
Charlie said that to you?
Yeah.
Charlie said that he wants to have sex with you?
No, someone did. I think Rob said something to Victoria.
Rob said that he wanted to have sex with you?
No, Victoria. Someone said...
He wanted to have sex with our phone screener, Victoria?
Yeah.
Tom?
Yeah?
Not that I'm offering, but...
Hi, Rob.
he recognizes you right away.
Tom, I haven't spoken to you today. You know that, right?
Right. How you doing, Bob?
Pretty bad, Tom.
How's my buddy Rob doing?
What's that?
How's my buddy Rob doing?
Hey, you know what? Real good until just now. You know why?
Why?
Because you called.
Oh!
Hey!
I'm teasing Tom, buddy.
Buddy?
Hey, buddy.
How do you spell buddy, Tom?
B-U-D-D-Y.
Very close.
Fantastic. Right. How do you spell tease?
T-E-A-Z-Z-E-D.
Perfect.
Right. How do you spell Lorraine?
Nope. Watch it.
How things at the group house?
It's not. Watch
yes.
it.
Yes,
it's
it is.
You do live. It. No, it's not.
You do live in a group house.
No, I don't.
What did you have for breakfast with the group today?
Nothing.
What are you going to have tomorrow?
I don't know.
What do you think?
I don't know. I'm having a milkshake tomorrow morning.
You're having a milkshake tomorrow morning?
Yep.
That's good for you. That'll keep your pear-like shape.
Yep.
You know who I made a milkshake for?
Who?
Lorraine.
No, you didn't. Watch it. I know you made a milkshake for. You made a milkshake for Artie this morning.
For who?
Artie.
For Bart. Oh, I hate that one. That Bart, yeah. I know you do too.
Yeah, I know. Well, he's just doing tit for tat because I'm talking about his mother, so he's talking about my son.
I think we all made milkshakes for Lorraine.
How's Bart doing? I hear he's driving.
F you, Tom. I don't like talking about my kid with you.
Oh.
All right, you win. I won't talk about making a milkshake for your mother.
Oh. I'm coming to Las Vegas on May 3rd.
No, you're not.
I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, no, you're not.
I am.
No, you're not. No,
yes, I am.
You're a monster.
All right, goodbye. Goodbye.
I was effing with him so bad.
I like that. Yeah. You were. I could hear you all through the building as you were having quite a conflict with Tom Gavin.
I'm sitting back there with Toya, and Toya was working him just like everybody else. Like, how's Lorraine?
Mm-hmm.
And he's going, watch it. It's my mother. Watch it.
Right.
And then she says, I'm having sex right now with Dennis Murphy. So I picked up the phone and I went, hello.
Is that what you were doing?
Yeah. And he said, this is not Daddy. This is Rob.
I said, no, this is Dennis. I'm having anal sex with Toya right now.
Oh, God.
Right now. Oh, it's great.
That
That probably got Tom all hot and bothered.
Sure. Stop it.
If you watch it.
Watch.
All right, Buzz, hold on. You know, we have to do news.
Sure.
But I had one special last little treat on today's Donnie's Record Bag for you.
Good.
Because I know this is your favorite song of all time. Goddamn thing would chew up. Here we go.
Ah, yes.
All right.
Napoleon the 14th, right?
Buzz loves this stupid song.
Ran away and I got on my knees.
He loves singing it. He loves listening to it.
Oh, Berserk.
I don't love it, I just know it.
You left me in.
Everybody knows this. They're coming to take me away, huh?
Go ahead. Do it along with it, Buzz.
Come on, Buzz.
Gone completely out of my mind. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time. And I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats. They're coming to take me away, ha-ha.
All right, now.
Like that.
Now that I've wet your palate.
Yes.
Answer me this. Riddle me this.
Okay, I'll try.
Have you ever heard that song in German?
No.
Oh, fantastic. You will now.
Cool.
My Frau geht nie in der Kneipe, nein, da bin ich
dabei,
da hat sie das genau wie ich, und da ist mir alles Mast. Die Alte sitzt an der Tischen, ich lieg in dem Bad und ergib mich um 50, gibt die Bühne und ich.
That's the best German song we've ever had.
Ich glaub, die hole mich ab.
Wait, I'm not done, though. Just listen to this for a second.
All right. That is fantastic.
What about for our Hispanic friends?
Okay.
Spanish version.
Oh, this is great.
Same stupid song.
¿Recuerdas cuando me dejaste y yo me arrodillé ante ti diciéndote que podía hacerme mal? Bien. Sin embargo, tú te fuiste y los días no pasaban más. Y así yo ya he perdido la razón. Entonces, ellos me quieren llevar. Ellos me quieren llevar.
That's right. Great. That is fantastic.
How about we're just talking about the Russian missile scare?
Ah, Russian.
In Russian.
Oh, wow.
Very forceful.
Sounds traditional. I'm telling you, it's a worldwide hit.
Oh, great. I had no idea.
Okay. Oh, that is fantastic.
I got one more for you.
Anything from the East?
Well, the closest I can give you, Mike, is the Italian version.
Oh, the Italian
version. For all you Italians. Disco version. Somebody put out a disco version.
Right.
All of this is the same song. They're coming to take me away. Ha ha. All right. How about for our Jewish friends?
Very good.
The Jewish version,
all right.
Jewish Josephine.
They came and they took you away. How what could I say? They came and they took you away. Okay. I'll say you away.
Oh, Buzz,
as you can hear, it's an international hit.
Oh, the international language of insanity.
Sure.
That's amazing. I had no idea. Now, are all of these on one album?
It's a compilation album, yes. It's not available.
Oh, I'd love to have a cassette of
that. It's one of those bootleg babies.
That is great.
I didn't even play you the soul version, the Eastern European version, the Europe dance version.
Yeah, the Euro dance version.
Or the Answer records, where people wrote records in response to "They're Coming to Take Me Away."
That's great. Maybe someday.
I've all of them, yes. Maybe someday. I think the one that we'll keep forever is the German version.
I don't think there's a better German. I always thought the Beach Boys German records were the best ones we had, but I'll tell you right now, that is my new favorite German song, is "They're Coming to Take Me Away."
It has a nice marching beat.
Card it up, Robbie. Buzz?
Yes?
We have a couple more segments of news and comment on this show today. What is your lead story this time?
This time up, some of the cheaters in the Boston Marathon were in wheelchairs.
Cheaters.
Oh, nobody likes a cheater.
Cheater.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned,
for
everybody.
News and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very...
Oh, you lost again, professional.
This is the record of the group home. Don and Mike.
Participants in the wheelchair portion of this week's Boston Marathon have been disqualified because they're able-bodied athletes. I'm quoting one official, to the best of my knowledge, that's never happened before.
That's low.
Marathon officials won't release the name since neither participant finished in the money, and it may have been a misunderstanding. In Canada, able-bodied athletes are allowed to try their hand at the wheelchair race. It was 20 years ago that a woman named Rosie Ruiz won the women's race with a little help from a trolley car. 6 to 12 participants are disqualified every year. Surveillance videos give them away these days.
Buzz, we have one of the guys here.
Oh, good.
Who actually participated in the wheelchair part of the race and was cheating.
Well, those are quality guests.
Oh, man, he doesn't seem to be remorseful at all.
A little sarcastic.
Zippy chance.
Yeah, zippy chance you'd win, cheater.
Mm-hmm. Didn't have time. Found out this morning.
But why did you use a wheelchair when you don't need one?
Keep grilling me. I definitely found it.
Yeah, all right, but listen, answer the question. You can run, you can walk. Why did you get in a wheelchair?
I took the circuitous route, but I found it.
Yeah, you found it. What you found was a cheating scandal. He doesn't seem to care.
You think that's funny? You think that's funny to cheat real crippled people?
Keep killing me.
It will keep killing you. Why were you in a wheelchair? That's what I want to know.
Oh,
now he's just fooling around.
Oh, no!
We're going to pretend that. Now that you've got some other serious ailment?
Yeah. There's going to be some kind of punishment.
You bet there is.
Yes, there will be.
Cheater. He's not taking it seriously.
Keep laughing. They're pissed.
Not a chance.
We are. Cut it out. Yeah. We are, they are.
He's the schoolyard bully.
We're not the schoolyard bully. No, you are wrong.
There's not a chance.
There is. You are able-bodied, you got in a wheelchair, and you participated in a race with crippled people.
Who cares?
Oh, nice attitude. I hope you're really proud of yourself.
Yeah, bitch slapping.
Yeah, that's what you're going to get.
Oh, come on.
She does have a nice rack, though. I'll give that to her.
Who's that, one of the girls in the wheelchairs? Oh, please. Listen, I'll give you one last chance to apologize.
Why?
Why were you in that wheelchair to begin with?
If there were no Matt Damon, no Ben Affleck.
Listen to me. I'm asking you a question. Why were you in that wheelchair to begin with?
I think I might.
No. Why were you in the wheelchair?
Oh, what could it be?
What, are you trying to check out the lay of the land or something?
Yes, what could it be?
She gets around.
Are you still talking about the girl with the big boobs?
Where's our favorite?
Why? Why were you there?
That is the lay of the land, my friend.
All right. You're all right.
Yes. You. Some of the wheelchair athletes say they don't mind the competition from able bodies.
He's a tramp. That's a legend.
Well, that's not called for.
Well, those are quality guests.
He's just rambling on, Buzz.
No respect.
Yeah, it's the most retarded thing I've ever seen in my life.
The crippled people?
Well, it's way more retarded than that.
Oh, you just behave yourself, son.
That sounds like fun.
Okay.
Funny how this works. A new study shows that whiplash patients recover much faster when they're unable to collect money for pain and suffering.
Do you understand?
I do. Do you? The study out of Canada had scientists looking at thousands of whiplash claims. In an area where lawsuits are limited by law, the claims dropped by nearly a third. And the ones...
Yeah, with a bullhorn up your ass.
Oh, my God.
He's just not letting it go, Buzz.
And the suits that weren't dropped were settled in less than half the usual time. What do you think of that?
You would be the one that got killed, though.
Oh.
I would put money on it.
He is just really out there. He's completely lost his mind.
What I do. The study says that when people don't have a financial incentive to feel pain, they think about it less and feel better.
Oh, sorry.
I don't think he is sorry.
Zippy Chance.
Right.
Right, he's at the fat farm.
A former computer analyst is getting $143,000 because he says he got spanked by his boss.
All right.
Franklin Smith says he was whacked at least twice with a 4-foot carpenter's level by his boss while his coworkers watched. Smith had just started at the company in Wausau, Wisconsin.
When I need someone just to be with, to talk with, I love Jeremy.
Mm-hmm. Jeremy always wants to whack me.
Mm-hmm.
And after the boss allegedly spanked Smith, he allegedly put his arm around Franklin and said, "Now you're one of us."
He wants to whack me or he wants to have me whacked.
Does he use a carpenter's level, though? That's the question I would have when Jeremy comes into the office before I get there and spanks you.
Mainly a ruler.
Ah, big ruler.
Very hard ruler.
Does he use the metal ones, the yardsticks?
Money metal yardsticks, yeah.
Money metal.
Well, the boss in Wisconsin denies all this. The jury didn't give Franklin the $1 million he was asking for, but they did award him that six-figure sum for damages.
I know that. I've done that.